KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll get to all the news in just one second, but first.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/hire.
I want to start by saying happy Veterans Day to all of the people who have served in our military. Thank you so much. Obviously, we have a debt we can never repay to you. You fought for the Constitution. You fought for the country. And that's something that can't be blessed enough. Thank you so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Well, we have to bring you the latest in the vote count because apparently the votes in Arizona and Nevada are being counted, hand counted, by the sloth from Zootopia. I have no other explanation for why it is going to take, I kid you not, until next week to find out who actually won the gubernatorial seat in Arizona and the Senate seat in Nevada. Now, it does look as though Republicans have lost the Senate seat in Arizona. It looks like Blake Masters is going to lose. Most people are now forecasting that Blake Masters is too far behind to make up ground. He's over 100,000 votes behind Mark Kelly in the Arizona Senate seat, which means that Republicans have to win both Nevada and Georgia. Georgia is going to be a runoff. They have to win both of those seats in order to take back the Senate. That looks somewhat unlikely at this point. The vote count in Nevada is really, really close at this point in time. Laxalt has about a 9,000 vote advantage on Catherine Cortez Masto, and that's about 90% reporting. Meanwhile, over in Arizona, a lot of eyes on the Kerry Lake race. She is down right now about 27,000 votes. Only 82% of the vote has actually been counted in Arizona, apparently because they weren't aware that there was an election happening this year or something. It just took them by surprise. No one really knows why it's taking them so long. CNN actually has, believe it or not, a decent rundown on this. In Arizona, CNN's decision desk estimates there are still 675,000 ballots to be counted. The majority of those, about 400,000 ballots, are in Maricopa County. That's the state's most populous county. That includes Phoenix. Of those ballots, about 290,000 were dropped off at vote centers on Election Day, according to Bill Gates, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors chairman. Those ballots have to be processed before they can be counted, leading to a lag time in tabulation. Gates said, we're now getting into what we call the late earlies. So these are early ballots we would have received over the weekend, or in specifically 290,000 that were dropped off on Election Day at our vote centers. The total was a record, he added. Those are expected to go for Lake by a not insignificant margin. In addition, Maricopa County has about 17,000 ballots that were attempted to be counted on Election Day but were not read by the tabulator because of a printer error. Those ballots still need to be counted as well. So it's going to take a long time. In Pima County, that's Arizona's second most populous, officials said there were roughly 159,000 ballots left to be counted as of Wednesday evening. The county doesn't expect to complete the count until November 14th or 15th. The uncounted ballots include more than 54,000 early ballots still being processed by the recorder's office. Nevada still has mail-in ballots arriving as well. Clark County received more than 12,000 postmarked ballots from the post office on Wednesday, according to the Clark County Registrar. The number dropped significantly on Thursday. The county received about 626 ballots from the Postal Service, but that is a very, very tight election. It's quite possible that you'll end up with a hand recount in some of these states because things are so close. Meanwhile, overall, the Republican gains in the House seem to be shrinking fairly dramatically. Steve Kornacki is now suggesting, according to his NBC polling, that their sort of surveying and studies, that the eventual Republican House majority will be a House majority of, I kid you not, three seats. They will end up with a 220 House majority. Okay, it takes 218 to end up with just a sheer 218 to 217 majority. That'd be an extraordinarily small majority, smaller currently than the majority the Democrats have. Those are not amazing numbers, considering that this was supposed to be, at the very least, a red tide election in favor of the Republicans. Now, it's possible we still don't have all the votes in. It's possible still that Democrats could maintain control of the House. Now, that's unlikely because essentially Democrats would have to clean sweep the rest of the outstanding races. With that said, it is not totally out of the realm of possibility. Joe Biden has already called to congratulate Kevin McCarthy on becoming the prospective Speaker of the House. We'll have to see how everything shakes down. Bottom line is dramatic underperformance by the House Republicans in a wide variety of races. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, folks, the most important part of the holiday season is being with family. Sadly, many of our wounded, ill, and injured service members are without the means to be with their loved ones this Christmas. Being apart, especially when ill or injured, can cause both them and their kids incredible stress and grief. No child should be without their parents on Christmas. That's why I support Luke's Wings, and you should too. Luke's Wings believes that every wounded warrior should spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, it provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets, reuniting families with wounded warriors. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers and their kids are running out of time. Make a meaningful impact this Christmas. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. Again, lukeswings.org. Hard to think of a better cause than bringing together parents and children, particularly if those parents happen to be people who served the country in the most heroic possible way. Go check out lukeswings.org. Again, that is lukeswings.org, and give generously. That's lukeswings.org. So all of this raises questions about which constituencies put Democrats over the top, because broad scale over the course of the country, Republicans did outpoll Democrats by somewhere between 2% and 4%. Democrats did win the what they call the House popular vote. Now, the House popular vote doesn't mean a thing, because just like the presidential vote, popular vote doesn't. That's not how you get people elected. The Electoral College is how you do it with the presidency. House popular vote means nothing, because you could stack up a bunch of votes in New York, and that wouldn't solve for the problem of winning close races in Kentucky if you're the Republicans, for example. Okay, but there are a couple of factors that people have thrown out there as possibilities for why the Democrats did better than expected. So first, the Democrats claimed that it was the young, right? That if you looked at the number of young people who showed up, that young people were the ones who put Democrats over the top. Thank God for the young people, because in the exit polling, it showed that people above the age of 40 voted Republican. People below the age of 40 voted Democrat. There's only one problem. There was no youthquake. David Shore, who's the head of data science at Blue Rose Research, he used to be a sort of mainstream data guy, except that he said things Democrats didn't like, so they threw him out on his ass. But he put out on Twitter, there was no youthquake. Turnout relative to 2018 was strongly associated with age, with turnout increasing starkly in older counties and decreasing the most in younger counties. So the notion that a bunch of young people basically put the Democrats over the top is not true. So who did put the Democrats over the top? Well, it appears that the single greatest factor putting Democrats over the top demographically, because remember, Democrats lost, they actually lost votes from 2018 to 2022 with black voters, with Hispanic voters, with white voters, like across the board. They did worse than they did in 2018. So what exactly helped them mitigate their losses? The answer is unmarried women. And single women are the ones who help put Democrats across the finish line in a lot of these races. The Washington Examiner broke down the vote by marital status in their exit polling. And what they found is that married men voted Republican over Democrat 59 to 39. Married women voted Republican over Democrat 56 to 42. Unmarried men, single men, voted Republican 52 to 45. And all the single ladies voted Democrat. They voted 68 to 31 for the Democrats, which, of course, prompted Joe Biden yesterday to congratulate American women on, quote unquote, beating the hell out of the Republicans. Now, presumably, he really just means single women, because the married women voted for the Republicans. And as we're going to discuss at length right now, we're going to talk about why single women have now become a large increasing voter block in favor of the Democrats. It's a great example of how societal hollowing out of institutions has created entire new voter blocks who are greatly enthralled with the power of government. Here is Joe Biden thanking all the ladies.
As I said, women in America made their voices heard, man. I said last year that one of the most extraordinary things about the Dobbs decision is what was about to challenge American women when the justice said, let's see, they have it in their power, basically saying, let's see what they're going to do. Well, guess what? Y'all showed up and beat the hell out of them.
You beat the hell out of the justices? That doesn't sound like bringing unity and peace, Mr. President. But the underlying message here, and this is something really important, is that when you get rid of the social institutions that actually are the middlemen for your life, right? They are the things that shape your life. They shape how you interact with society. And the closer the institution is to you, the more it shapes your life. Your family is a social institution. We've treated it now as a private institution. It is not. Family is a social institution. It has always been reinforced and undergirded by the rules of the road that exist in our communities, in our small-scale societies. And typically, the way that you are shaped as a human being, you're born into a family, your family exists within a local community. that local community exists within a broader political framework, within a civil society, that local civil society exists in a state society, which exists within a federal society, right? There are these layers into which you are born, and they all shape you. When you eviscerate, as the left has successfully done in the United States, all of the layers between you and the federal government, and it's only worked with certain groups, but when you eviscerate those layers, people end up very dependent on the federal government, because the only institution that actually helps you and shapes you is that institution. And so this is what we've seen with the death of marriage. A lot of Republicans have been conservative, been very upset about the rise of same-sex marriage or the lack of marriage in the United States. They've been very upset about the idea that marriage has gone by the wayside in the United States. The reason for that is the redefinition of marriage from social institution to private institution that is supposed to be greenlit and enshrined by the federal government. The only institution that really matters in this viewpoint is not marriage is an adjunct. It doesn't matter, marriage. It's not an independent institution. Family is not an independent institution anymore. Essentially, family is just how you get together in your house. It's a bonds of relationship. It's about love. It's not about the effect on society. And the rules for your family are just kind of between who's in the household. The changing definition of marriage is a fundamental fact in Western life, and it's completely destroying the society at large because it's essentially eviscerating, as we say, all of the social bonds that exist absent the federal government. You're now an atomized individual who lives in perhaps consensual relations with a small group of people. And then over time, those ties kind of fall apart. And it's just you, the individual, floating atomistically through society and the federal government. And there's nothing in between because all of the social fabric has been destroyed. Marriage is the most obvious example of this because marriage is the fundamental basis for all society. Again, marriage was a social institution. This is why you have a wedding in front of a public, for example. This is why in Judaism, you actually have a document that is signed by witnesses, because it is not merely you have decided to get together with somebody. This has social ramifications. The community has an interest in whether you stay together, for example, with your spouse. The community has an interest in how you raise your kids. That does not mean that they get to rule how you raise your kids in every aspect, but it does mean that they help define the institution that defines your marriage, that defines your kids. Marriage was always a social institution. Everybody understands this. This has been true throughout human history. Only now have we redefined marriage into sort of a private arrangement between you and the other person and treated it as though you and the other person had sort of like a consensual business arrangement that is not even subject to court oversight. We treat marriage now with the casualness of you and a friend getting together for lunch. And that is not what marriage traditionally was. This is why you've seen, for example, the wide acceptance of cohabitation as a substitute for marriage. Because cohabitation is what marriage is now perceived as. If you ask most Americans now, what's the difference between two people living together and two people who are married? They'd have a very tough time telling you. Now, in the olden days, and I'm talking here like 20 years ago, if you ask people what's the difference between cohabitation and marriage, what they would say is one of these things is they used to literally call it living together in sin, right? The idea would be that you're living without any sort of social imprimatur for your relationship. And this is something not good. You want a social imprimatur for your relationship. You want a religious imprimatur for your relationship. You want to be inculcated into an institution because institutions shape and guide you. Cohabitation doesn't do anything of the sort. It conveys no commitment. What we've done in this country is that we've essentially gotten rid of that. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Already coming up, we'll get into more of the research on marriage and cohabitation, why marriage is dying in the United States. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Uh-oh. This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are talking about the rise of single women as a voting bloc in favor of Democrats, why that's happening. And so what we see is changing views of marriage, for example. So Pew Research, if you look at they did a study in 2019, marriage and cohabitation in the United States. The share of adults who have lived with a romantic partner is now higher than the share who have ever been married. Married adults are more satisfied with their relationships and more trusting of their partners. That, of course, is not a shock, as we'll talk about. None of this is actually good for the single ladies. None of this is actually good for the country. It turns out that the happiest women in America are the women who are married with kids. Doesn't mean they shouldn't have a job. Doesn't mean they can't work. If we are to create social institutions that foster human happiness, which is what social institutions are for, we might want to look at the things that actually make people happy. And it turns out that telling women that the things that are most meaningful to them in life, like getting married and having kids, that these things are simple sort of adjuncts to a successful life, that maybe you do them, maybe you don't, they're really not all that important. You can lead just as happy a life sipping wine at age 40, single, alone in your apartment while working 2,200 billable hours at a law firm, you're going to be just as happy as you would be if you had been married for 15 years and you have three little kids playing around you and you're working part-time. That does not seem correct. By any available sociological data, that does not seem correct. And yet, that is what many people have been inculcated into. And the institution of marriage has not shaped people. This is why, by the way, women vote differently if they are married and if they are single. It's for two reasons. One, the subgroup of women who get married tend to be more conservative. And two, the institution of marriage actually does shape women because your interests change. You're now more interested in how your kids are brought up. You're more interested in your family not being ruled by the federal government. Men also change, not as greatly as women do, but they also change. They get more conservative when they get married. So when you undermine marriage in a society, what you end up doing is undermining conservatism. Young adults in the United States are particularly accepting of cohabitation, according to Pew. 78% of those aged 18 to 29 say it's acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together, even if they don't plan to get married. But majorities across all age groups now share this view. This is a radical shift in how society has worked, really since the 1960s and the rise of birth control. And because before that, if you lived together in sin, the idea was that likely you were going to have some sort of illegitimate child, and that would be bad for the kid. And so about the externality of the kid. But that's not really the reason why living together used to be considered morally wrong. It was not just about the kid. It was about the idea that living together without any serious long-term commitment is a sin against the other person, that a better thing to do is to put sex within the confines of a committed lifelong relationship. Because this creates trust. It creates bonds. It creates social fabric. It embeds you in time and in space. These are good things. We've broken all those boundaries. Not religious people, by the way. About 3/4 of Catholics, 74% of Catholics, and white Protestants who do not self-identify as born-again or evangelical now say that it's acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together even if they don't plan to get married. But if you identify as born-again or evangelical, basically if you are a very religious person, you still believe that there is a problem with this sort of behavior. Now, as far as what makes people happier, the answer is that what makes people happier actually is getting married. If you get married, you are likely to have higher earnings. You are likely to have more sexual satisfaction. You are likely to raise your kids in a better way. And what you see is that now, here's the key poll result from this Pew Research poll. Most Americans don't see being married as essential to living a fulfilling life, which is kind of wild because that is the most important relationship you will ever have in your entire life is the marriage that you have and the family that you create. What's more essential, having working long hours, sexual libertinism? What exactly is more essential? I struggle to think of a thing more essential than marriage, actually. Only small shares of U.S. adults say marriage is essential for a man, 16%, or a woman, 17%, to live a fulfilling life. 54% say being married is important, but not essential for each. 3 in 10 say being married is not important for a man or a woman to live a fulfilling life. Now, what that really says, by the way, is that Americans are so afraid of being labeled judgmental that they refuse to say that it's actually essential for people to get married. It is essential for people to get married. That doesn't mean that everybody will. It doesn't mean that people can't live lives individually that are the best that they want to choose if they don't get married. But is it an essential? Yeah, it's an essential. I would say having kids is essential to people's lives. Social institutions, again, are breaking down. Once marriage started being seen as something else, once it started being seen as simply a private arrangement between two people, it began to collapse. So this meant a couple of things. One, once it began to be seen as not a social arrangement, but a private thing between two people, you ended up expanding the definition of marriage to include everyone. Right? This is why you have Joe Rogan talking with Matt Walsh about marriage, and Joe is like, I don't understand why two people can't just get married if they love each other. And Matt is like, it's a social institution, that's why. Because society has an interest in a man and a woman getting married and having kids. It's two very different versions of what marriage is. It's a definitional question. It also means the concomitant decline of marriage altogether, because if it's really just about two people who love each other, why can't you do that without a marital document? Why can't you do that without a prenup and all the complications of having to file taxes together? Why don't you just get together and live together? And that's what we're actually seeing. You can see this in the marriage rates in the United States. And what we're watching here is the slow roll death of Western civilization through the decline of marriage. So this is a chart, for those who cannot see it, of 144 years of marriage and divorce in the United States. What you see, starting, and we have pretty good stats from the census, starting just after the Civil War, you see that the rate of marriage per 1,000 people was just under 10. That stays relatively stable all the way until about the mid-1980s. Here's what happens. It starts to go up during the 1900 to 1910 era to just above 10 as increasing prosperity allows people to get married. And then it goes way down during the Great Depression. People stop getting married because they can't afford to get married. And then you see during World War II, that it spikes, the rate of marriage, and you see a spike in divorce directly after World War II because a lot of people sort of rushed into marriage thinking, I'm going to die tomorrow, so I'm going to get married today. So you see a giant spike in divorce that happens right in 1946. And then it kind of goes back down to the normal. And you have these very high rates of marriage up until about the early 1950s. Now, there's sort of an artificial dip in the level of marriage between 1955 and 1965 or so. What that is not that fewer people are getting married. It's that there's a giant baby boom, so there's just more people. So if the rate is the number of people getting married per 1,000 people in the United States, you have a giant wave of people who are now born. That means that the rate is going to go down even if the same number of people year on year are getting married. So this rate stays fairly stable, right? About 10 per 1,000 people are getting married every year in the United States. And then in about 1985, you see a steep decline all the way down to right now in the United States, about 6.8. So from our height or average height, when you're talking about mid-1970s, something like 11, close to 12 sometimes, marriages per 1,000 people, we're now down to a little, maybe 60% of that. And it's a steady decline. It's a very marked and very steady decline. You can see it happening. Already coming up, we'll get into the reason why marriage declined in the United States. One big reason is divorce. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
Vaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive understands that now's the time to get everything done on your holiday shopping list. And the last thing you need to worry about are the unexpected dents from shopping carts, door dings, and fender benders. That's why Vaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center offers free estimates. They can schedule a time that works best for you. And it's about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Vaco at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Renning Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Renning Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Renning Kia. RenningKia.com.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. There's a lot going on this time of year, including the Homeward Bound Military Family Christmas. But as Veterans Day approaches, we need to remember those who have served this country to preserve our freedoms. This Veterans Day, take time to say thank you to a veteran in our community. And remember, freedom isn't free.
Day.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're looking at the reasons for decline of marriage in the United States, the rise of single women as a sort of independent voter bloc. One reason is the rise of divorce in the 70s and 80s. So what exactly happened? The answer is the redefinition of marriage. And the reason for the redefinition of marriage is because of the second thing on that chart, which is the divorce rates. So what you see is that no-fault divorce becomes a thing in the United States starting in about 1970. And you can, in 1969, Ronald Reagan, then governor of California, in a move he said was one of the worst of his career, he signed into law in California no-fault divorce, which was the idea that before that you had to make an excuse to a court why you wanted to divorce your spouse. Adultery, abuse, and something that actually necessitated you breaking with your spouse. Then California led the way by signing no-fault divorce in 1969. You start to see divorce rates skyrocket. That's why you see all these movies like Kramer versus Kramer that are cropping up in the 1970s, all about divorce and the breaking up of the American family. The rates of divorce skyrocket from about 2 in 1,000 all the way up to about 5 in 1,000. Say more than double over the course of a decade. Like significantly more than double over the course of the decade. By early 1980s to mid-1980s, what you have is no-fault divorce that has now taken place in nearly every state. So what does that mean? It means fewer people start getting married. Why? Because what's the point? What's the point? What exactly is the lock-in? You may as well not get married. Cohabiting is essentially the same as marriage. If marriage is freely enterable and freely exitable, then what exactly is the point? Why don't you skip the whole thing? You may as well just cohabit. And so this is what you've seen. A rising share of people in the United States who are cohabiting or never getting together with anybody, and a decline in the institution of marriage. And this, unsurprisingly, coincides with a rising share of singles in the United States. You can see a rising share of U.S. adults are now living without a spouse or a partner in the United States. That is not particularly shocking, right? You can see right here, this is from 1990 to 2019 from the Pew Research Center. For those who can't see the chart, what you see is that in 1990, about 67% of the population aged 25 to 54 was married. As of 2019, that number was 53%. That's a serious decline. You see that the number of people cohabiting from 1990 to 2019 has more than doubled, from 4% to 9%. And the number of people who are unpartnered, who are not cohabiting and not married, has risen from 29% to 38%. So we went from a country that was essentially two-third married to a country that is only about half married for people between the ages of 25 and 54, because the definition of marriage changed, and marriage itself as an institution declined. This, not shockingly, coincides with the median age of first marriage rising dramatically by sex in the United States. Because again, if marriage is not a social institution fostered by everyone around it, people encouraged to get married, people encouraged to have kids, people told that their local communities, those militating institutions, are going to help them out when they have kids. When we have kids, look, we have kids, right? We have three. There's a whole community built around people having kids. Here's the way that it works in my community when somebody has a child. First, there's a wedding, always in my community. Okay, there is no single motherhood in the Orthodox Jewish community. It's not a thing that happens. So you get married, then you have sex, and you have kids. When you have a kid, the entire community comes around you. I'd say almost every week in our community, there's a kid who's born. And when there's a kid who's born, the entire community starts a meal train. They have a WhatsApp group, and people just bring meals for like 2 weeks, minimum. Anything you need. You have a group of friends. You have family. You have the rabbi. Right? Everyone will get involved to make sure that mom has everything that she needs, because this is a communal thing. The community gets together to celebrate the birth of the child. This is why family formation is a big thing. There are weddings all the time in our community, and it's wonderful. It's a big social event, not just for partying, but also to celebrate the fact that there is a new little platoon, as Edmund Burke might put it, that is building up the society. And the ramifications, by the way, for progeneration are pretty dramatic. One of the stories that I saw recently is kind of amazing. Israel just had its recent election. Israel happens to be, by the way, the only Western country that has above replacement rates of childbearing. They're about 2.5. So Israel, there's a woman who voted. She's 101, voted in the last Israeli election. She has 800 grandchildren. 800, great-grandchildren, descendants. Because she had like 10 kids, and all of her kids had 10 kids, and they all had 10 kids, and that's what you end up with. And that is not the way that it works in the United States right now. Right now, you can see, look at the age, the dramatic age increase in marriage right here. So in 1950, the average age of a woman getting married was a little over 20, and the average age of a man was about 24. By the way, those are exactly the ages at which I got married to my wife. I was 24, she was 20. Now you see it starts to spike. Starting in 1950. It's still flat for men. Men kind of trail. But then it starts to rise. By 2010, The average age of first marriage for women is about 27. The average age of first marriage for men is over 28. And that's just for the people who are getting married. That's not counting all the people who aren't getting married. If you look at the marital status of the U.S. population, this last year by sex, what you see is, again, a dramatic decline in the number of people who are married in the United States. This is why, again, all of this is to explain why single women are now a voter bloc and why they have particular interests as a voter bloc. The redefinition of marriage, the evisceration of the social institutions that used to be what kept people happy and healthy and provided the social support for them. For single people, those institutions don't exist in the same way because, again, they're sort of left out of the bargain. In the Orthodox community, if you're single, there aren't meal trains, right? That's not the way that it works. If you're married and you have kids and you just had a baby, then the meal train comes. A little bit more on this in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Hey, so, marital status of the U.S. population in 2021 by sex. So what you see is that 47.35 million men have never been married. You see that 41.81 million women have never been married. The number of men who have been married total, or who are married right now, total, is about 68 million men and about 68 million women, a little bit fewer men than women, say that they are currently married, which is sort of odd. Not sure why there's an imbalance there. Theoretically, I guess maybe there are 5 men who are married to 2 women or something. Very strange. In any case, if you add together the 42 million women who have never been married with the 15 million women who are divorced, that's 67 million women. There's 68 million women who are currently married. Okay, so that's now a major voter bloc. And what you see also, if you go back to the original Washington Examiner chart, what you actually see, based on the voting rate, is that unmarried women, even though theoretically they are less of the voting population, they actually are kind of not. Okay, if you measure them out, what you see is that if there are 56 million single or divorced women in the United States and 68 million married women in the United States, and you see the vast gap between how unmarried women vote and married women vote, it actually amounts to the same thing. Unmarried women completely canceled out married women in the last election cycle. And that's because of that vast voter imbalance. So this raises a question. Why are single women voting the way that they are? Why do single women want more government? Why do single women vote differently on abortion, as we'll see they do? Why do they do all of this? So you might think, for example, that single women should actually vote for less government because single women have more college degrees than men, for example. If you're highly educated, maybe you earn more. If you earn more, maybe you want fewer taxes. Maybe you need fewer social services. What you see, for example, is that women are now getting more college degrees and men are falling behind more. If you look at the number of women who are getting college degrees versus the number of men who are getting college degrees, you can see that there has been a dramatic increase in the number of women who are getting college degrees between 1970 and 2021. In 1970, 12% of women aged 25 to 34 had a bachelor's degree. As of 2021, that number was 46 million. For men, the number went from 20% to 36%. So men went from almost double the number of bachelor's degrees as women to having about 25% fewer bachelor's degrees than women. So you see that women in the United States are outpacing men in college graduation. However, and you see that men are falling behind. You see that men are falling behind pretty dramatically. So why exactly is it that single women are voting for the government? To answer that, what you have to see is the household hours worked and female labor force participation rate over time. So if you take a look at this, this is kind of fascinating. And these are some stats from a study from the University of Chicago showing the hours worked per adult and the labor force participation rate. So hours worked for single women versus married women, what you see is that for married women, the number of household hours increased dramatically between like 1955 and 1985. And for single women, it kind of dipped and then it stayed even. The labor force participation rate is the thing that really is worthwhile noting here. What you see is that married women start to work in much, much bigger numbers than single women. Single women in 1955, 80% of them were participating in the labor force. In 1985, 80% of them were participating in the labor force. The great lie that single women weren't in the labor force in 1955, it's not true. They may have had different jobs. They may have had jobs that weren't as lucrative. They may have been discriminated against. They were working. Single women were working at a clip of about 80% in the 1950s, and they're working at a clip of about 80% in 1985. Married women is the difference. Why? Why did married women suddenly start working? The answer is, a lot of the single women kept working when they got married. And what this meant is what Elizabeth Warren called the two-income trap. When married women kept working as opposed to going home and staying with the kids, largely because of the idea that marriage was no longer a social institution, raising kids was no longer nearly as important, that women in the workplace, this was a vital, vital thing to do, it was a vital constituency to serve. Once that happened, you ended up with an actual gap emerging between single women and married women in terms of earnings, because married women are now part of a two-income household. And those married women are earning, along with their husband, a lot more than the single women. So single women started working and kept working. Married women, over time, were not working. They would go from single and working to married and not working. And that would now be a one-income household. And then what you see is that they start working. So now you have a very high married labor force participation rate. And what that means is that those households do amazing because they have twice the income. This is, again, Elizabeth Warren used to be a kind of creative and independent thinker. If you go back to the early 2000s, kind of shocking. She wrote a book called The Two-Income Trap. And what she said is what this was creating was inflation in real estate, for example, because now you had two incomes and they could pay for bigger houses, as opposed to the single woman who's locked out, or the single man who's locked out, or the one-income household that was locked out. What does all of that mean? It means that unpartnered adults are faring less well. You can actually see the impact on single women. Right? Married women are now doing better than ever, but single women are doing worse in many ways than they ever have done. Unpartnered adults are not faring as well as partnered peers on a range of outcomes, according to Pew Research. So what you see here is that the number of partnered people who have completed at least a bachelor's degree is 41%. Unpartnered people, 29%. Median earnings. Partnered adults, $49,000. Single adults, $35,000. Right? This is, like, the numbers are pretty stunning right here. They're not faring as well. So what does that mean? Well, it means that they need a second income. Who's that second income going to be for single women? Who's it going to be for a lot of single women who may not have the bachelor's degree? Because remember, only 46% of women actually have a bachelor's degree, which means 54% do not. So what's going to happen to all the single women who don't have a bachelor's degree or who do have a bachelor's degree, but they aren't earning that much money? Where is that second income going to come from? Who's going to be the partner to them? Well, the answer is, again, because we have eviscerated marriage as a social institution that was important for people to engage in, that provides fulfillment, that creates social structure, that creates social stability. Because of that, what you end up with is the Joe Biden famous Life of Linda. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN is like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station for a snack. Most of the time, probably fine. What if you come back and there's just some weird guy who's driving off with your car? And what if it's Joe Biden? I mean, that's scary stuff. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. One of my kids could probably do it. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, first, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It would also take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. You can fire up the app, click one button, get protected. It works on all your devices. We're talking phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. You can get an extra 3 months for free. That's ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, if Democrats don't believe largely in marriage, if they think of marriage as sort of an adjunct to life, something that's not so important, What does life look like when you get rid of all the militating social institutions? Well, it looks like the life of Linda. It's Joe Biden's favorite. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car washes starting at only $9. A clean car is essential to the value and even safety of a vehicle. And at Quick and Clean Car Wash, they have a variety of car wash packages to choose from. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Goldleaf Nursery Autumn Harvest of Savings Sale is going on now. A huge 50% off sale of shrubs and trees in a selected area of the parking lot. A great time to pick out fall color trees and shrubs. And the rest of the entire inventory is 20% off. This sale runs until November 19th. Coming soon, a truckload of living Christmas trees, including Colorado blue spruce, fir trees, and the hard-to-get Japanese maple and dogwood. Goldleaf Nursery is open Wednesday through Saturday from 8 to 5. Don't miss Goldleaf Nursery's Autumn of Savings Sale. Goldleaf Nursery at 6168 Churn Creek Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
This is Ted Lighty with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Lighty, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, if you get rid of marriage, if you get rid of family, if you get rid of all the important things in life, those important social institutions, what replaces it? The answer is government. What do you end up with if you have an entire group of people, single women, who are falling behind married women, who are not engaged in a social structure, who've had the most important mediating institution in human existence, marriage, ripped away from them? They've been told that it's no longer essential, it's not important. In fact, in many ways, it's an institution that hems them in and harms their creativity. So what do they require? Well, they're going to require a couple of things. One, they might require some government help. When single women are voting at a larger clip for bigger government, this would be the answer. This is why Joe Biden knows his own constituency. This is why you will recall that Joe Biden's campaign actually put out what they called the life of Linda. And the life of Linda is exactly who Joe Biden thinks he is talking to. It is these women. Quote, Linda is a working mother in Peoria, Illinois. She works at a local manufacturing facility as a production worker and earns $40,000 per year. She is pregnant with her son, Leo. Now, where's dad? He doesn't exist. There is no dad. Apparently, it was a virgin conception. No one knows. Dad does not. He's nowhere in the picture. Who's dad? Joe Biden is dad. The government is dad. Once Leo is born, Linda begins receiving child tax credits of $300 per month, $3,600 annually to help cover essential costs like groceries, rent, and medicine. Well, what a happy, fulfilled life. That's amazing, because the government is now paying the check. As Leo grows up, the government helps cover the cost for his daycare, guaranteeing Linda doesn't need to pay more than 7% of her income on childcare. It used to be in two-parent married households before we decided that it was imperative and very important. Not that women should be able to choose to work, but that women should work. It is important. They must work. Before that, it used to be you didn't need daycare because daycare was basically a factory where you sent your kids. Mom spent an awful lot of time with the kids. When Leo turns 3, he is then immediately shipped off to a government training center, a high-quality pre-K program for free. How exciting. Again, all of this because of the evisceration of marriage. When Leo leaves high school, he's able to enroll in a community college thanks to extended Pell Grants and investments in community college. So mom and dad don't work and scrape and save and earn in order to pay for the college education. We just give it for free. Then, of course, Leo ends up as a wind turbine technician. The important thing to understand about Leo is that it's not about Leo. It's about Linda. The life of Linda, does this sound like a fulfilling, happy life to you? Where's Linda's engagement with her church? Where's Linda's community? Doesn't exist. Where's Linda's husband? Doesn't exist. This is who Joe Biden is talking to, though. Because, again, if you're a single woman falling behind your married peers and you have been told all your life that marriage is actually a stymieing, patriarchal institution, and you look across the road at the women who got married and have kids, and many of them also work, and you say to yourself, maybe I'm missing out on something, that doesn't feel good. You know what would have helped Linda here? What might have helped Linda is if she never had Leo at all. What might have helped Linda is if she'd had an abortion. You wonder why single women in the United States are so invested in abortion? Because marriage is not on the radar. Marriage is not as important. Now, of course, it's not true for all single women, but it's true for a large segment of single women, is that if they are militantly single, if the idea is I'm happy because I'm single, well, one of the aspects of female freedom would be not being saddled with a child, as Barack Obama once said. If my daughter made a mistake, I wouldn't want her to be punished with a child. Now, most of us don't see child as punishment. We see it as one of the goals of life is to have children. But because we've eviscerated marriage, and marriage is a social institution, then kids become sort of like a purse. Like a dog. Do you need a kid? Is the kid good for you? If you get pregnant with the kid, it's kind of inconvenient. Let's be real about this. And this is what you see. The women who get abortions in America are almost entirely unmarried, despite the fact that the left in the United States likes to claim that the average woman who is having an abortion is actually a married mother of 3 and she just can't deal with her 4th kid who may be Down syndrome or something. First of all, bad enough. But that's not actually what the stats show. What they show is that only 14% of women who have sought an abortion, according to Guttmacher Institute, are married. 31% are cohabiting. 46% are never married and single. 9% are previously married but now single. Okay, that is the gap. That is the breakdown. You wonder why abortion sent single women to the polls in big numbers and why they voted 68 to 31 for Democrats? Because Roe did matter to them. Roe mattered to them because we have created an entire class of human beings in the United States that didn't exist for nearly all of human history. Human beings who are militantly in favor of dropping the things that make life most valuable, the things that make life most meaningful. It's not their fault. And again, there are some single women who don't fit into this box. It's just the thing they want to do. And yeah, they're happy. They have a great life. But that is not what the social science statistics show. The vast majority of people who live a lifelong single existence, particularly for women, lifelong single existence, no kids, that is not a recipe for happiness. It is not. I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm sorry if this is offensive to people. It is not a recipe for broad-scale human happiness. It is not the recipe for a successful society. By the way, the people who also get abortions, they live in blue states. So you wonder why exactly single women living in blue states are voting for Democrats? That would be the answer. 68% of women who obtained an abortion voted for Joe Biden. And 32% lived in states that voted for Trump. So this is why Joe Biden is very much interested in the votes of single women. And this undergirds so many of the other culture battles that are currently taking place in the United States. This is why parents are now forming up as a bloc, because it turns out that married women and married men are much more of a voter bloc, and they're going to become a more cohesive voter bloc as they're alienated from the values that Joe Biden has promulgated and his party has promulgated and the left has promulgated in the United States for the last 50, 60 years. As that happens, parents are going to start looking across the aisle, and they're going to say, I don't understand why you guys get to decide what happens with our kids. This has educational implications. The same election where single women showed up to vote for Democrats for Congress because they wanted to preserve abortion, the same election, pretty much every school board in the country moved to the right because you know who's animated to vote on behalf of their kids? People who have kids. You know what those people actually care about? Militating social institutions like marriage and local community and how their schools work. Meanwhile, you have the left, which is treating kids as in many ways, the radical left or the social left, they treat kids as sort of adjuncts. They're things you can have, but you don't really need. They're not essential features of life. This has consequences. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. According to the Associated Press, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly has won his bid for re-election in the crucial swing state of Arizona, defeating Republican venture capitalist Blake Masters. This places his party one victory away from clinching control of the chamber for the next 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency. With Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote, Democrats can retain control of the Senate by winning either the Nevada race, which remains too early to call, or next month's runoff in Georgia. Republicans must win both of these races to take the majority. Republican Joe Lombardo is the winner in the race to become governor of Nevada. Lombardo previously served as the sheriff of Clark County. Former President Trump is escalating his criticism of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
The governor was already a potential challenger to Trump for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination before the midterms. But his resounding reelection in Florida has boosted the profile of DeSantis, and the former president has taken notice. He issued a lengthy statement Thursday night slamming DeSantis as an average Republican governor with great public relations and taking credit for the governor's victory back in 2018. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Supply chains, Russia's war in Ukraine, and the impact of COVID are top of mind for Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen as she meets with leaders in New Delhi.
Yellen spoke to tech leaders at the Microsoft India Development Center addressing U.S. concerns. Among them were Russia cutting off gas supplies in Europe and China's chokehold on global solar panel production. The United States is pursuing an approach called friendshoring to diversify away from countries that present geopolitical and security risks to the supply chain.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. The Biden administration planning to make the American energy industry less productive. They've announced plans to cut emissions from oil and gas producers. More on these stories at townhall.com.
My name is Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Introducing Vinia, a miracle superfood from the Holy Land. Enjoy the health benefits of a bottle of red wine minus the alcohol, sugar, and calories. A clinical trial demonstrated that Vinia significantly increased dilation of arteries, which enhances blood flow and delivery of oxygen to your body, improving physical energy and mental alertness. Take a little wine for your health's sake with Vinia. Order your Vinia today and get 10% off using Salem10 at Vinia.com/Salem or call 800-450-8503. Vinia, better blood flow, better life.
A Texas grand jury indicts a man accused of slipping medicine used for abortions into his wife's drinks.
A 38-year-old man is in trouble. His wife telling authorities he told her to stay hydrated during pregnancy, and he began to serve her water. She says the water looked a little cloudy, and she became sick after drinking it. She later looked in the trash and found the packaging for a medicine that is used to induce abortion. The story, though, does have a great ending. The baby was born premature, but is now healthy and doing very well. Jason Walker reporting.
New York is ordered to temporarily pause the distribution of marijuana retail licenses. A state federal judge is siding with a company in Michigan that alleges issuing the licenses discriminates against applicants who do not live in New York State. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The crypto exchange FTX is filing for bankruptcy.
FTX, the world's third largest crypto exchange, filed a petition for bankruptcy protection in Delaware today for itself, Alameda Research, and dozens of affiliated companies. FTX experienced the crypto equivalent of a bank run. Binance, a larger exchange, backed out of a deal to save the company after a look at the books led to the conclusion that FTX's problems were too big to solve. On Thursday, Sequoia Capital said it was writing down its total investment in FTX. Companies including Formula One team Mercedes have suspended sponsorship deals. Founder and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried, recently estimated to be worth $23 billion, resigned, and his net worth has all but evaporated. He tweeted that he was shocked to see things unravel the way they did. I'm Jennifer King.
A ban on TikTok in the U.S. could happen before the new Congress is sworn in this January. Current FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr referred to TikTok as China's digital fentanyl and security risk. More on these stories.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So the left is fully puzzled as to why parents would like to control their kids' educations. Eric Swalwell, for example, he tweeted out, this is just, it's so indicative of how members of the left think about family and kids. So Tim Scott, who was just reelected in South Carolina, the senator, he said, "We are putting parents back in charge of their kids' education." This seems, to any parent, this seems not only inoffensive, but baseline decent. Of course parents are in charge of their kids' education. I'm a parent. This is a social institution. It's not just like I'm locking my kid in a basement somewhere. It's part of a broader social structure in which I engage. I get to determine how to raise my kid, because that, in fact, is my main mission in life. My kid is not an adjunct to my existence. My kid is the entirety of my existence. My kids are the thing I care about most, and it's not close. But Eric Swalwell, he of the Chinese spy affair, he tweeted out, "Please text me what I'm missing here. Tell me what I'm missing here. What are we doing next? Putting patients in charge of their own surgeries? Clients in charge of their own trials? When did we stop trusting experts? This is so stupid." You see, the experts are not parents about their own kids. Families are not social institutions. Families are merely weak consensual bonds that you form with others under the broad rubric of love. It's the Mrs. Doubtfire version of family, right? There are so many kinds of family. Families with two moms and two dads, or a horse, a chicken, and a man. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But Eric Swalwell believes that. So that's why you outsource your kids to Linda's government center, right? In the life of Linda, mom is sending her kids at pre-K, like 3 years old, free funded care for your kids, daycare, while you go to work as a $40,000 a year mechanic or something. This is the goal, apparently. Right? This is the thing that apparently Eric Swalwell wants. You're supposed to outsource all of this to the experts, the expert class, because, again, once you remove all of those social institutions, this goes right back to the beginning. Once you remove all the social institutions, all those layers in which you are enmeshed, family, local community, local civic society, state civic society, finally, at the very top, the quote-unquote experts, once you get rid of all the things in between, why not just outsource your kids to the experts? Why not? You should. And this is why, for example, you see these bizarre videos of, like, Kathy Hochul with Randy Weingarten the day after she wins election in New York. And New Yorkers, you bought the ticket, you take the ride, man. You had an opportunity to get rid of this lady, you decided not to. You decided that you desperately needed to keep Kathy Hochul in power. So she went and she visited Puerto Rico along with Randy Weingarten, the head of the teachers union, the American Federation of Teachers, who mandated that your kids stay out of school for 2 years and then insist that your kids remain masked. And here she is in video with everyone in the room masked except for her. She's not masked. She's great. All the kids are masked and they're partying and they're having a good old time, man. These are the experts. Eric Swalwell says you should take your kids and you should hand them to these experts. You should have no say over your kids. You should have no say over any of this stuff. And because the social institution of the family doesn't matter. These are the people, these dancing, preening fools. These are the people who should be running things. Now, parents are having their revenge. They didn't have their revenge in the broad-scale congressional election. They certainly are having their revenge when it comes to the school boards. So it is freaking out people on the left that the school boards are now turning dramatically red. They're turning dramatically red because it's married people who are voting for the school boards. Again, one of the key stats here is that married Americans vote Republican at a far greater clip than pretty much anyone else. And here is a chart from the American Enterprise Institute showing how single women vote versus married people. And the source is the AP vote cast data. And here's how people voted in the 2020 election. Married men voted 56-42 in favor of Trump. Married women voted 52-47 in favor of Trump. Unmarried men voted 46-52, 52 for Biden. Unmarried women voted 62-37 in favor of Joe Biden. And those aren't the people who are voting in school board elections. It's the top two categories who are voting in school board elections. That is what you see. And you can see, by the way, this correlates extraordinarily highly, that if you look at the percentage of vote by percent married at the county level, what you see is where more people are married, those counties tend to trend Republican. You can see it right here on the scatter plot from the American Enterprise Institute, that as the number of people who are married in a particular area goes up, the share of votes for Republicans also goes up. This is not a particular shock. So education is going to be a key issue, particularly in the local elections, because those are the militating institutions. According to the New Yorker, freaking out about this, the 2022 midterm elections offered many snapshots of the contemporary school wars, but one might start with the race for superintendents of education in South Carolina, a state that languishes near the bottom of national education rankings and that's suffering from a major teacher shortage. Lisa Ellis, the Democratic candidate, has 22 years of teaching experience and is the founder of a nonprofit organization that focuses on raising teacher pay, lowering classroom sizes, and increasing mental health resources in school. Her Republican opponent, Ellen Weaver, has no teaching experience, is the leader of a conservative think tank that advocates for education freedom in the form of more public funding for charter schools, private school vouchers, homeschooling, and macro schools and micro schools. Choice is truly, as Condi Rice says, the great civil rights issue of our time, Weaver stated in debate with Ellis last week. In the same debate, Ellis argued South Carolina does not have a teacher shortage per se. It has an understandable lack of qualified teachers who are willing to work for low pay in overcrowded classrooms, in an increasingly divisive political environment, and a dilemma that is depressingly familiar across the country. Ellis also stressed South Carolina has fallen short of its own public school funding formula since 2008, leaving schools billions of dollars in the hole. Weaver countered, the state could easily persuade non-teachers to teach so long as they had some relevant subject matter expertise, and warned against throwing money at the problems. The salary floor for a public school teacher in South Carolina is $40,000. In short, the two people vying to run South Carolina's public schools were an advocate for public schools and an opponent of public schools. The latter won, and it wasn't close. Weaver currently has 55% of the vote to Ellis's 43. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, I want to invite you to a higher calling on the Ben Shapiro Show. Will you join me? We've partnered with Preborn. It's an organization whose sole mission is to rescue babies from abortion. Preborn clinics are located in the top abortion areas in the country, where the majority of abortions still take place. Preborn offers love, support, and free ultrasounds to women. It's the nation's largest provider of free ultrasounds. You see, when a woman meets her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, it's a divine encounter. The majority of the time, she's going to choose life. For just $28, you can save a life with one ultrasound. For $140, you can help rescue 5 babies' lives. Now, through a match, your gift is doubled, saving twice as many babies. To donate securely, just call #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro. All gifts are tax deductible. Preborn is a 501c3 organization. Preborn babies need our help. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to stop women from getting ultrasounds, especially because they know that women who see ultrasounds tend to preserve the lives of their preborn children. Help out Preborn today. Go to preborn.com/Shapiro. That's preborn.com/Shapiro, or call #250 and say keyword baby. Now, again, the reason that this is happening is that groups like the 1776 Project, to which I've donated money to help flip school boards, they've been pointing out the rise of critical race theory and radical gender ideology in the classroom, and parents are beginning to notice. What they do not want is all the people who do not see marriage as a valuable social institution, who wish to undermine marriage in the name of sexual freedom, teaching their kids. They do not want people on the left who have decided that they are going to eviscerate all of the social when members of the left in the educational sector say, "We will raise your kids." Parents rightly have red alarm bells going off everywhere. It's like a scene from a movie where all the radioactive waste is starting to spill out into the hallways and all the alarm bells are going out. All of the parents understand what it means when people say, "We care about your kids more than you care about your kids. You're lying and you're about to do something I don't like with my kids." Because you are attempting, in what you say right now, forget what you actually teach. What you say is that you wish to eviscerate the most closely held institution, the family, in favor of some government bureaucrat who's going to be teaching my kids. As the left pushes harder and harder, as it grows as a voting bloc, as it decides that the way that it creates future leftists is to indoctrinate them by removing all of the social institutions. And by the way, as religious institutions fail to provide the rationale for their own existence, as they fail to provide the rationale for marriage, because here, one of the things that has happened in religious society, and this happened across the board, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, it's happening across the board in the United States, is that there used to be a baseline understanding that you could just laugh off the idea that marriage was anything except for an important social institution that was essential to your life and to your happiness, and that was you, if you're a man, and your wife, a woman, having babies. And if anybody had suggested anything else 40 years ago, you would have laughed at that. But the thing is that what the left has basically suggested is that you're not allowed to laugh at alternative forms of lifestyle choice. That's mean. You don't want to laugh at it, which means that what you actually have to do is provide a rationale. Now, the rationale exists. You don't have to laugh at alternative forms of lifestyle choice. You can even tolerate alternative form of lifestyle choice so long as you know why you are doing what you are doing. But the burden was shifted by members of the radical social left onto the proponents of traditional institutions. The idea now was that you couldn't just dismiss it by saying, listen, thousands of years of traditional wisdom in human history have shown that these institutions are durable, valuable, and necessary. You couldn't say that anymore. You had instead make a tabula rasa defense of man, woman, child. Now, that's not a hard defense to make, but when you're not prepared to make the defense, because the counter-argument is coming way out of left field. Like, you never had to defend that before. It's like, if someone asked you why, for example, you tie your shoes as opposed to not tying your shoes. I mean, like, the chances of you actually tripping over your own shoelaces and falling on a given day are not super high. Why do you actually have to tie your shoes? You could probably think about it and come up with a rationale fairly easily. But you're not used to thinking about it because why would you think about it? You tie your shoes. You were taught by your parents to tie your shoes, so you tie your shoes. Why do you wear pants? Right, we could all walk around in our underwear. Why do you wear pants? This is a big question. Why? The left, by the way, might ask this question in San Francisco. Why wear clothes at all? Clothes are a social institution. Why do you need clothes? Now, you could come up with a rationale. It's to protect from disease, or it's to protect from the vicissitudes of the environment, or because modesty is actually an important value. It's not just, that's where the left would go crazy. Modesty is not an important value. Modesty is nothing. That's all because of your patriarchal notions about sexual titillation. Okay, but the thing is that you used to be able to say, and this is true for virtually all important social rules, you used to be able to say because it's worked. The left has basically changed that equation, and religious institutions are not prepared to make the counter-argument, which is why you see so many people back-footed on the right when they're asked about things like the importance of marriage or not teaching sexual indoctrination to your kids at the age of 7. This stuff is coming so far out of left field that you have no clue that it's even coming at you until it's past you. And at that point, you're running to catch up. Well, now, the running to catch up has begun. Now the right is basically saying, married people are saying, we are not going to do this any longer. So, if Joe Biden is relying on single women as a voter bloc, if he is relying on the destruction of social institutions and the replacement of those social institutions by an overarching government using extraordinary power in order to form the only social ersatz fabric, right? This is what Barack Obama, by the way, said in 2012. In 2012, Barack Obama put up, I was at the convention, put up a giant center court. It was at a basketball stadium. Center court, you know, billboard, essentially. He put up on the big screen, on the giant screen. It said, government is the only thing we all have in common. Government is the only thing we all share. Anybody from a traditional background says, what the hell? That's not true. I thought we all share a basic idea that families are important. I thought we all share local religious communities. I thought we all share basic ideas of the Constitution. I thought we all share a bunch of institutions, actually. But that's not what the left would actually like in the United States right now. And Barack Obama and Joe Biden is making that extraordinarily clear. And again, this is all about eviscerating those social institutions. That is why you wonder why people on the right are so exercised about school boards. That's why they're so exercised about school boards. That's why they're going to continue pushing on school boards, and they're going to continue winning on school boards, because the people who care the most are the people with the kids. It also happens to be why people on the right are so off-put by the overtly transgressive nature of left-wing politics when it comes to sexual identity. Because the left has basically said all social institutions are impositions and then must be destroyed in favor of bizarro world notions of your own identity as self-created. Because of that, it's having dramatic impacts on the way we live. And there are certain sort of weird outlying stories that people pay attention to simply because they gather headlines. And they're meant to garner headlines because the idea is that if you can make the transgressive normal, then the normal becomes transgressive. If you can make the transgressive, all the breaking of the social institutions, the norm, then anybody who fights back against that is some sort of bigot, sinner, terrible person. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, the kids are back in school. The chaos of summer travel has now come to an end. But for many of us, fall can also be a super busy time. It is for me. We're talking work, school, sports, clubs, etc. You might find yourself away from home more often than not, which is why I team up with Ring to keep my home safe. With Ring security products, you can rest assured your home and family will be safe when you're not there. The Ring doorbell notifies you when guests or packages arrive. Working parents can even watch from the office to make sure their kids get off the school bus safely. Ring's indoor cams, they're a great way to keep an eye on kids and pets when you're not there. Ring Alarm will alert you if any motion is detected while the house is empty. Now, I use Ring. It makes me feel safe. Whenever I'm not home, I know what's going on with the baby. I know what's going on with my wife. I know what's going on my property, which matters a lot to me. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers. Find out how you can live a little more stress-free this season with a Ring product that's right for you. That's ring.com/collections/offers. I feel safer because I have Ring devices all over my house. You will feel safer as well. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers and find out how you can upgrade security at your place. Alrighty, coming up, if we're talking about symptoms of societal collapse, yeah, it's a minor symptom, but it isn't all that minor. A story from New Hampshire that is pretty wild is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to kcnr1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Fall savings are underway at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street in downtown Reading. Maximize your car wash savings with car washes starting at only $9. A clean car is essential to the value and even safety of a vehicle. And at Quick and Clean Car Wash, they have a variety of car wash packages to choose from. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Eureka Way and Market Street next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So it is pretty amazing how society has collapsed in this short period of time to the point where an overweight man is now winning beauty pageants for women. So here's a story for you. This one is out of Derry, New Hampshire. A teenager in New Hampshire has become the first transgender contestant to win a local Miss America organization beauty pageant. We have video of Brian Wen, who is 19, who won the Sunday night pageant to become Miss Greater Derry 2023, which awards the winner a crown, title, and scholarship. Brian is the first to win. Brian is an overweight dude. This is a video of Brian, and that is just a description.
Can we get to the good part?
I guess Brian is now Brianne, I guess is how he wants to be pronounced. Okay, Brian violates all traditional standards of what a woman is and all biological standards of what a woman is because he is, in fact, not a woman. He also would violate, even if he were a woman, what sort of traditional beauty has constituted. You would be surprised if a woman who looked like this transgender woman looks, a biological man looks, if a woman like that won a beauty contest, you'd be like, that's kind of strange because that's not a traditionally beautiful woman in any way, shape, or form. But that's the whole idea, right? You violate all the rules, you destroy all the rules, and then once all the rules are destroyed, then anybody who stands up for the rules is the transgressor. So this is just another indicator of a broken culture. And all of this has deeper societal roots. And people on the left like to play the game, why are you even noticing? Why are you even? The answer is we're noticing because, again, what we're watching in terms of kind of daily news stories, that's the tip of the iceberg kind of stuff. And then all the stuff under the iceberg is what we've been talking about this entire episode. The broad societal changes in the definition of marriage. Tied into, by the way, the definitions of sex. Once you remove from the traditional definitions of society marriage with the idea of a man as a father and a woman as a mother, then obviously everything becomes androgynized and you can just switch places. Man can be a woman, a woman can be... And when the social function is exactly the same, why should biological function define social function? I mean, one of the roots of marriage is the idea that men and women are different. This is why same-sex marriage is not the same thing as heterosexual marriage and why the word marriage should not be applied to same-sex couples in the first place, because marriage is about man, woman, child, period. End of story. That's what it was designed to do. And by the way, when I say designed, I mean designed by God or by nature, not just by societies. It wasn't societies that randomly decided the most valuable form of social arrangement was man, woman, child. That would be evolutionary biology. That happens to be the reality of this. But when you eviscerate all of that, when you create a society in which the greatest happiness is tied to eviscerating those social institutions, when marriage becomes a patriarchal institution that has to be done away with, when all of that happens, you shouldn't be surprised when men pretend to be women and women pretend to be men, and the entire society goes, well, why can't they be? Why can't... I mean, really, when a woman's function is exactly the same as a man's function in society, when you cannot say in modern American society, or are punished for saying, or are questioned for saying, really questioned, because this is baseline reality, when you are questioned for saying, you know, it seems to me that a main function of a woman on planet Earth is to bear children. That evolutionarily speaking, that is the main function, not a main, the main function of a woman on planet Earth is to bear children. That doesn't mean every woman has to bear children. It doesn't mean that every woman's going to be happy bearing children. But biologically speaking, if you believe in, forget God, evolution, and evolution is about the procreation of the species, then on a biological level, it is significantly more important whether a woman has a baby than whether a woman has a job as an assistant accountant at the local haberdashery. This is all very obvious stuff, but we're supposed to not say that stuff because, again, what the left has done, they've eviscerated all the social roles. The social roles are bad. All that matters internally is who you want to have sex with or how you identify in terms of your gender. And if we get rid of all that, so then the question really is obvious. When you get rid of all the institutions and all you get are free-floating, atomized individuals and the state, and there's nothing in between, all the institutions in between are gone. When that happens, what you end up with is essentially a servile population voting for a group of people at the top who will continue to pay for all the consequences of the bad decision-making at the individual level. And that's essentially the goal of the social left today. The goal of the social left is you should not bear the consequences of your own decisions along any line. This is what the equity agenda is about. Your decisions have no impact on the consequences, whether we're talking about your sexual decisions or your lifestyle decisions or your partnership decisions or your business decisions. None of this should have any consequence in the real world. The job of the government is to essentially play more just God, to establish, as Thomas Sowell once suggested, cosmic justice, in which all choices are essentially equivalent. There's no such thing as a moral choice or a sinful choice. All choices are the same. And if all choices are the same, then all effects should be the same. And it is the job of the great God of government to alleviate all the consequences of your decision-making. That is the thing you have to vote for. Vote for that, and maybe happiness is just around the corner. Maybe the utopian world in which nature doesn't exist, and you can be what you want to be regardless of the consequences. Maybe all that can be handed to you on a silver platter. That's the broad scale pitch. That's the pitch financially. It's the pitch in terms of social policy. It is a pitch that is guaranteed to lead to unhappiness. And sooner or later, society is going to pick up on this. Or it won't. And other societies are going to rise who aren't stupid enough to carve away at the fundamental foundations of their society. Those other societies are going to look at what the West has done to institutions like marriage and childbearing and education and biological sex. And they're going to say, you morons, what did you guys do? What have you wrought? And those societies will win. Because in the end, biology does exist. Reality does exist. Social institutions do exist. These are all real and they are all important. In fact, they are, contra public opinion, essential. These are essential and good things. Already coming up, we'll be joined by Lila Rose from Live Action to talk about the results of the midterm elections. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
November is National Gratitude Month, a time to celebrate and give thanks. The folks at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive want to thank you, their customers, for being the most important part of their business. Whether you need a new paint job or repair, Mako has you covered. Thanking you this holiday season. Michelle, Jerry, and the team at Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Uh-oh, better call Mako for your free estimate at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Lila Rose. She is founder and president of Live Action, one of the most effective pro-life groups in the country. Lila, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, Ben.
So, Lila, obviously a very disappointing midterm election night for Republicans, particularly disappointing for a lot of pro-life people across the United States. There are a bunch of ballot initiatives in places like California, Vermont, Michigan, Montana, Kentucky. There are a bunch of initiatives that essentially went in the anti-life direction. Re-enshrinements of a right to abortion in the constitutions of some states, rejection of pro-life laws in other. What do you make of this?
Well, actually, I have a bit of a different take. I don't see it as a tremendously disappointing day. I think we saw a strong showing from very unapologetic pro-life candidates who are great leaders, and we're likely going to take back the House. And I think that that would be a tremendous step forward for a movement to curb the evils of the Biden administration, which is super pro-abortion. And when it comes to the referendums, I don't think that was a huge surprise when you actually look at what happened. The reality is the pro-life side was outspent in this election 35-1. So there was over $400 million, Ben, of pro-abortion advertising coming from the Democratic Party and their allies. And that doesn't even include the pro-abortion nonsense and the lies and the misinformation that comes from media groups and all the other people, influencers and celebrities that back that agenda. But on the pro-life side, $11 million, that's it, was spent by the GOP on pro-life advertising. So looking at that reality, it is actually encouraging that the referendums didn't lose by as much as they lost when they went to a direct vote to the people. Because when a lot of people showed up to vote on election day and filled out those ballots, those initiatives on abortion, they were believing lies that they had been inundated with, you know, 10, 15 times ads that they saw again and again telling them that, you know, women are going to die or abortion. This isn't even about abortion. It's about women's empowerment. And that was what they thought going into the voting booth when in reality, these are extreme pro-abortion initiatives that if they were actually educated on, many people would have actually voted for life on.
So let's talk about tactics versus strategy here. So obviously everybody strategically on the pro-life side is looking at this, and we're trying to figure out what is the best way forward for pro-lifers here, particularly state by state, because honestly, this does not look like this is going to be predominantly a federal issue. The Supreme Court seems to have made clear, including Brett Kavanaugh in his concurrence, that he is not going to truck with a lot of massive federal legislation, which is both good for pro-lifers, because if Democrats take Congress, then they would presumably try to push harsh laws that would allow abortion in virtually every state, but not wonderful for pro-lifers at the federal level. What it does mean is that if this is a state-level thing, what should the tactics be? And this is really an open question that I think is a sort of fascinating conversation mm-hmm. inside the pro-life movement. Should incrementalism be something that is pursued in purple states in order to actually win, which is essentially what the pro-life movement mm-hmm. has done over and over again? They spent 50 years basically incrementally arguing back the borderline of when people think abortion is acceptable. It used to be that people thought in the last trimester it was acceptable. The last two trimesters they thought it was acceptable. Now it seems as though it is inching backward to where most Americans believe that in the first trimester it's kind of acceptable, but certainly not in the second trimester and definitely not in the third. You know, when you look at purple states like Florida, for example, Governor DeSantis here did not push a full ban on all abortions from point of birth because he knew that while Florida is looking increasingly red, that would have been counterproductive. It would have ended up with rejection. Instead, they passed a 15-week pro-life bill. That will presumably, with a Republican legislature, get pushed back to 12 and then to 10. And you're starting to see this in some of the other sort of purple to red states, whereas it seems like some of the states where there's eagerness to go for broke, the public reacts too strongly against that. Do you think that there should be, in some of these states at least, an incremental approach? You go for broke where you can, but where you can't, you got to take an incremental approach to convince people gradually, because that's likely to be a more durable victory.
I don't see it that way. I mean, look at Governor Abbott in Texas, and he had one of the strongest pro-life laws in the country, and he won his reelection. So it's not like, I don't think if Governor DeSantis was bold with this, as he's bold on, you know, child mutilation, and he's bold against wokeism, I think he would do well. And I think he can be bold on a heartbeat bill. I think he can be bold on complete legal protection. And I think a lot of it's about how it's messaged, Ben. I really think, I mean, the polling, you've studied polls for decades on this, or at least the last decade. And look, when the poll question says, you know, do you support abortion when the baby's heartbeat can be detected? A large majority of Americans, you know, 70% plus, say, no, we don't support that abortion. But then if you ask them on another poll sheet, you know, do you think women should have a right to abortion in the first trimester? They'll say yes. So it's really a voter education issue, which is where strong leadership can make or break the result, really. So I would encourage Governor DeSantis to be aggressive and bold on this. It's going to motivate his base. And I don't know his, you know, political ambitions. I know a lot of people are wondering about that. But I think that's the kind of long-term federal leadership that the country needs.
More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape, get your business the refund money? Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you too. They do all the work, no charge up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today.
And a quick other note before talking more granularly on, you know, state tactics on, you know, the pro-life fight. Listen, I think that there is a federal role here, for the government does have a federal role to play in protecting life. Absolutely. And I think that getting rid of Roe is a step forward to enable the House of Representatives, the Senate, and ultimately I hope a pro-life president one day to do their job in protecting life. And that's because the 14th Amendment already protects life. I think it's very clear that we all have equal protection under the law, that no state has the right to deprive anyone of their life without due process. And that includes children. Of course, children should be included. They are human beings like you and me. And so I think it's very clear that there is a federal obligation for lawmakers to take action when they can. And that's why we're urging abortion restrictions and protections of life, complete protections of life, ultimately at the federal level. And I think it is actually possible, Ben, with the right leader. You know, if we have the right political leader in office, the right president in office, someone who's a true pro-life stalwart, which I think is doable next election, then, and we take back the Senate, or take back both the House and Senate, which we may have already mostly done, and we can get past that Senate filibuster, we might see something as, in many ways, surprising as Roe v. Wade's overturn just a few months ago, but something tremendously successful for our movement to protect life at the federal level. So that's what we're going for, without apology. In addition, we are working at the state level. So live action is at the state level. And here's our policy. Here's our approach right now, Ben. If it's a red state, we're all in on you need complete legal protection. And we're working with lawmakers. We just had 40 of them at a summit in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, working and crafting, you know, what does this look like? Other groups are partnering with us on this. But this is how we're getting tremendous steps forward, like in places like Alabama or in places like Ohio. We're seeing pro-life laws passed. And so we need to keep working on that. In a purple state, I think we have to push the envelope here. We can't just play a defense game. We can't just say, well, the pro-abortion side doesn't want any restrictions, so we're just going to meet them halfway. That's actually not really how it works. I think how it works is, if there's bold leadership and good messaging, you can win the fight. And that's what I would encourage purple state leaders to do. If they listen, you're already winning the fight when you're bold and unapologetic and you're good at public relations. I mean, even President Donald Trump, who seems to hate DeSantis lately, complimented his public relations game in the state of Florida in his recent rant against him that he put out. That's true. If you have good public relations, and keep in mind, Ben, that's why the pro-abortion side won these referendums, is because they outspent pro-life 35-1 in public relations. So if you have good public relations and if you have that pulpit, like, you know, DeSantis or other purple governors would have, advocate for life and see how many people are persuaded by saying, listen, we can do better for women and abortion is violence. We want to protect children and their hearts are beating. Let's protect these children. People are very attracted by those messages, the polling proves. And then in the dark blue states, I'm in California, it's tough. But that's where Live Action's focus is education, to seed the ground for future pro-life victories by persuading people one person at a time. It's very tedious. It doesn't look particularly sexy. You know, it's not as much as the hot and fast, quick response of politics. You get your result immediately. But it's that crucial work to do one heart and mind at a time, to do the education campaigns that we're doing, work in schools and churches, to prepare the state for future pro-life victory.
That is Lila Rose over at Live Action, the best pro-life group in the country. Go check them out and support them at liveaction.org. Lila, really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Ben.
Meanwhile, Joe Biden is out there saying he's not going to change a thing. Things are going amazing. So Joe Biden says that he is going to continue doubling down and doubling down and doubling down. According to the New York Times, an inflation-driven midterm will not change Biden's economic focus. Ooh, well, I hope that you enjoyed what you've had so far, because you will be getting more of it. Inflation and the economy dominated voters' concerns on Election Day. They did not culminate in the kind of political drubbing of President Biden and his party many had expected. That outcome has made Mr. Biden less inclined to pivot on economic issues to appease Republicans, who have spent months pummeling the president over his handling of the economy. We lost fewer seats in the House of Representatives than any Democratic president's first midterm election in the last 40 years, Biden said during remarks at the White House on Wednesday, saying, I don't have to change any of the policies that have already passed. Now, most Americans disagree with this sentiment, but Joe Biden's going to keep doubling down because, after all, he didn't get punished. So why not? What is surprising is that you're still seeing people on the left starting to kind of edge toward the idea that maybe Joe Biden shouldn't be the guy in 2024. I find that a little bit surprising because it seemed as though all the momentum was his. It's going to be very difficult to oust a guy who just had a fairly successful midterm election cycle. There's an entire New York Times article today by Frank Bruni titled, Biden is no sure thing for 2024. What about Buttigieg, Harris, even Whitmer? He says, the noise won't go away entirely. There's the matter of Biden's age. There's the matter of Biden's energy. He was already the oldest president in American history when he took office at 78. He'd be just shy of 82 on Election Day 2024. It shows. He doesn't project anything like the ebullience he once did. His flubs transcend malapropisms. Last month, he erroneously claimed student loan forgiveness passed Congress by a few votes. That was the most glaring misstatement of his own record, but hardly the only one. So who exactly are they looking at? Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, and Gretchen Whitmer. Man, that is a charmless crowd. By the way, it's not just Frank Bruni at the New York Times is pushing this. Ashley Parker at the Washington Post has an entire piece titled Whitmer Vaults into National Spotlight with Double-Digit Re-Election Win. Just 3 days after she gave a speech, Whitmer impressed the political establishment, vaulting into the national spotlight with a double-digit re-election win on Tuesday night. The Michigan governor soundly defeated her Trump-endorsed rival while helping usher in Democratic control of both the state, House, and Senate for the first time in 40 years. It was a great night for Governor Whitmer, said Debbie Stabenow, the senator from Michigan. She's certainly part of our next generation of leaders, not just in the state, but across the country. So Gretchen Whitmer is an extraordinarily charmless politician once again, in the mold of Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris. And she was the person who was saying the day before the election that people with periods needed help, by which she meant women. They're still searching, in other words. The search has not ended. And then they say that perhaps you should keep an eye on Amy Klobuchar or Elizabeth Warren or Sherrod Brown or J.B. Pritzker or Ro Khanna. But the bottom line is this. The search for somebody to replace Biden hasn't completely ended, but it's going to be very difficult for them to supplant Biden at the top of the ticket. The chances that Biden is going anywhere are really, really low, even if, as expected, we hit a recession next year. A little bit more on this in just a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, Donald Trump, man, he's just going, man. He's just going off. Don't stop him while he's going. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Renning Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Renning Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Renning Kia. RenningKia.com.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Renning Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Renning. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Redding Civic Auditorium. Have you been to RedingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advance Redding has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Redding Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit RedingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit RedingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, like Bluto in Animal House declaring that we defeated the Japanese on the European continent in World War II, Donald Trump continues to attack Ron DeSantis for no apparent reason. He sends out an entire missive, a Save America missive, about Ron DeSantis. It is very long. It is filled with Melvillian sentences, like extraordinarily long. This is all one sentence. You ready for this? News Corp, which is Fox, The Wall Street Journal, and the no longer great New York Post, bring back call, is all in for Governor Ron DeSanctimonious. So he's going to stick with that one. An average Republican governor with great public relations who didn't have to close up his state but did, unlike other Republican governors whose overall numbers for a Republican were just average, middle of the pack, including COVID, and who has the advantage of sunshine, where people from badly run states up north would go, no matter who the governor was, just like I did. That is all one sentence from the former president of the United States. Also, weird line of attack that Ron DeSantis closed his state unnecessarily, considering that you made Anthony Fauci a public figure. That's, yeah. That dog ain't gonna hunt. He continues. Ron came to me in desperate shape in 2017. He was politically dead, losing in a landslide to a very good agriculture commissioner, Adam Putnam, who was loaded up with cash and great poll numbers. So now Adam Putnam is, like, amazing. Ron had low approval, bad polls, and no money, but he said that if I would endorse him, he could win. I didn't know Adam, so I said, let's give it a shot, Ron. So if he had known Adam, he would have endorsed Adam. When I endorsed him, it was as though, to use a bad term, a nuclear weapon went off. Years later, they were the exact words Adam Putnam used in describing Ron's endorsement. He said, quote, I went from having it made with no competition to immediately getting absolutely clobbered after your endorsement. By the way, every use of the word endorsement is capitalized by capital E, the great endorsement. I then got run by the star of the Democratic Party, Andrew Gillum, who was later revealed to be a crackhead, by having two massive rallies with tens of thousands of people at each one. I also fixed his campaign, which had completely fallen apart. I was all in for Ron, and he beat Gillum, but after the race, when votes were being stolen by the corrupt election process in Broward County, and Ron was going down 10,000 votes a day, along with now Senator Rick Scott, I sent in the FBI and the U.S. attorneys, and the ballot theft immediately ended just prior to them running out of the votes necessary to win. I stopped his election from being stolen, so now Donald Trump is saying he personally intervened in the Florida election to stop the election from being stolen from Ron DeSantis. I would love to see the evidence of this. Because also, if he actually illegally sent the FBI to intervene in an election, that's not the best. And now, Ron DeSanctimonious is playing. I can't believe he's sticking with Ron DeSanctimonious. I mean, put everything else aside. This is a bad brand, Ron DeSanctimonious. And that's the, really? He's got duh as the beginning of his last name. It could be anything. Ron DeStupid. Ron DeFat. Ron De, like, if you're just like a seventh grade bully and doing this routine, you'd do better than Ron DeSanctimonious. And now Ron DeSanctimonious is playing games. The fake news asks him if he's going to run if President Trump runs, and he says, I'm only focused on the governor's race. I'm not looking into the future. Well, in terms of loyalty and class, that's not really the right answer. Loyalty and class, loyalty, like, this statement is all a giant gripe fest about Ron DeSantis, who just won his state by 20 points, who is not declared for the presidency, and who is busily attempting to deal with Hurricane Nicole. This is like the fifth or sixth statement that Donald Trump has put out about Ron DeSanctimonious in like the last week. But DeSanctimonious, because he's not going to declare for Trump 2024, is lacking loyalty and class. This is the way this is just like 2015 and 2016, a media assault, collusion, capital. When Fox News fought me to the end until I won, and then they couldn't have been nicer or more supportive. The Wall Street Journal loved low energy Jeb and a succession of other people as they rapidly disappeared from sight, finally falling in line with me after I easily knocked them out one by one. We're in exactly the same position now. They'll keep coming after us, MAGA, but ultimately we will win. Put America first and make America great again. Yeah, nothing puts America first quite like attacking the most successful Republican governor of the last 20 years in the United States. That's definitely the way to do it. Well, he has not even declared or done anything to you. That's great. By the way, it's not just about Ron DeSantis. It's not just about Ron DeSantis. He's not attacking Glenn Youngkin. Somebody take away his phone. Somebody take away his phone. Like, if you want him to run successfully, take away his phone right now. It looks weak. It looks foolish. It looks unhinged. Again, I'm saying this to people who like Donald Trump and want to see him reelected. Here was his Truth Social about Glenn Youngkin. You ready? Youngkin. Now, that's an interesting take. Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? I'm not kidding you. That is literally what he wrote. And he wrote it as two words. Youngkin. Capital Y, capital K. Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? In Virginia, couldn't have won without me. I endorsed him, did a very big Trump rally for him telephonically, got MAGA to vote for him, or he couldn't have come close to winning. But he knows that and admits it. Besides, having a hard time with Dems in Virginia, but he'll get it done. Dude! What the F? What is going on? Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? What is even happening right now? No one knows what is this? It's an interesting play, Cotton. We'll see how it plays out for him. Meanwhile, all of Trump's advisors were telling him, literally all of them, because I know many of them, were telling Trump, don't announce next week. If you wish to have a successful 2024 run, do not announce next week. It's Ron DeSantis' moment. You look petty. You announcing next week, you don't have momentum. A lot of your candidates fell flat on their faces in the election. Don't do it. Bad timing. And apparently, Donald Trump is just shoving those people out of the way. He's like, rah! Just throwing them out of the way. It's like, I will announce. I'll do it. I'll stare directly at the sun. Solar eclipse. Yeah. So he's like going right for it, apparently. He sent out another email this morning announcing the most important speech in the history of the United States. I'm not kidding. It's a direct quote. It may be perhaps the most important speech. The most important speech in the history of the United States. He sent out another one of those this morning, did the former president of the United States, announcing that on November 15th, he was going to be going for it. So that's just spectacular. He's going to do that in advance of a Georgia runoff election, which is going to jazz up the Democratic base just in time for Herschel Walker to maybe lose again to Raphael Warnock, which means that Donald Trump would have been single-handedly responsible for losing three Senate seats in Georgia in a year and a half, which is not precedented. I've never seen anything remotely like that. That's kind of, I mean, it's unique. Again, bold move, Cotton. We'll see how it works out for him.
Whew.
Well, again, if you are close to President Trump and you believe that President Trump is your man, you need to tell him to stop. This is not helping him. Also, okay, well, you know what? It's the weekend, and I need to rest up because I need it. It's been a long week. But we will be back here Monday with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Economic confidence is up slightly in November.
Economic confidence increased to 86.3% in this month's Rasmussen Reports Economic Index, half a point higher than October. The survey of 1,500 Americans was conducted on November 1st. The margin of error was plus or minus 3% with a 95% level of confidence.
That's correspondent Bernie Bennett reporting. According to the Associated Press, Democratic Senator Mark Kelly has won his bid for re-election in the crucial swing state of Arizona, defeating Republican Blake Masters. It places his party one victory away from clinching control of the chamber for the next 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency. With Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote, Democrats can retain control of the Senate by winning either the Nevada race, which remains too early to call, or next month's runoff in Georgia. Republicans now must win both those races to take the majority. Republican Joe Lombardo wins the governor's race in Nevada. Lombardo previously served as the sheriff of Clark County. The U.S. Border Agency leader is being forced out.
The head of U.S. Customs and Border Protection is being forced out of his job, leading the nation's largest law enforcement agency. That's according to two people familiar with the matter. Chris Magnus has been on the job less than a year. He was told to resign or be fired, according to two people with direct knowledge of the matter who were not authorized to discuss it publicly, along with Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council. The ultimatum comes after Republican gains in midterm elections are likely to lead to more congressional scrutiny. I'm Shirley Adler.
Well, Twitter may be suspending its paid subscription service, Twitter Blue. Users can have their accounts verified with a blue check mark for $8. Thousands of imposter accounts were made following that. More on these stories at townhall.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Beijing reporting a new wave of COVID-19 cases. Correspondent Donna Warder has more.
Beijing has shut down city parks and imposed other restrictions after more than 10,700 new cases were reported today. Most of the cases tested positive but showed no symptoms. Many city schools have switched to online classes and hospitals are restricting services. Some shops and restaurants are also closed. More than 5 million people already have been under lockdown in the manufacturing hub of Guangzhou, as well as another Western megacity. I'm Donna Warder.
A ban on TikTok in the U.S. could happen before the new Congress is sworn in this January. Current FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr referred to TikTok as China's digital fentanyl on Fox News. He said he agrees with potential congressional legislation to ban TikTok because of its security risk. He believes the legislation would have bipartisan support. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A Norwegian company will build a giant electric battery factory just southwest of Atlanta.
Prior Battery will invest $2.6 billion over multiple phases.
hiring 720 people. The plant's capacity would be the second largest worldwide among operating facilities, behind a factory owned by Panasonic and Tesla in Nevada. Prior CEO Tom Jensen says the company's vision of using renewable energy to make batteries could play an important role in reducing carbon emissions from electricity generation and transportation. John Scott reporting.
The NFL is partnering with Vanderbilt University to research head injuries among football players. The study relies on custom mouthguards that contain sensors measuring force and acceleration. The project's also using mouthguards with four NFL teams in the hopes of developing equipment or taking other actions to reduce serious brain injuries in the future. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll get to all the news in just one second, but first.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
I want to start by saying happy Veterans Day to all of the people who have served in our military. Thank you so much. Obviously, we have a debt we can never repay to you. You fought for the Constitution. You fought for the country. And that's something that can't be blessed enough. Thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful day. Well, we have to bring you the latest in the vote count because apparently the votes in Arizona and Nevada are being counted, hand counted, by the sloth from Zootopia. I have no other explanation for why it is going to take, I kid you not, until next week to find out who actually won the gubernatorial seat in Arizona and the Senate seat in Nevada. Now, it does look as though Republicans have lost the Senate seat in Arizona. It looks like Blake Masters is going to lose. Most people are now forecasting that Blake Masters is too far behind to make up ground. He's over 100,000 votes behind Mark Kelly in the Arizona Senate seat, which means that Republicans have to win both Nevada and Georgia. Georgia is going to be a runoff. They have to win both of those seats in order to take back the Senate. That looks somewhat unlikely at this point. The vote count in Nevada is really, really close at this point in time. Laxalt has about a 9,000 vote advantage on Catherine Cortez Masto, and that's about 90% reporting. Meanwhile, over in Arizona, a lot of eyes on the Kerry Lake race. She is down right now about 27,000 votes. Only 82% of the vote has actually been counted in Arizona, apparently because they weren't aware that there was an election happening this year or something. It just took them by surprise. No one really knows why it's taking them so long. CNN actually has, believe it or not, a decent rundown on this. In Arizona, CNN's decision desk estimates there are still 675,000 ballots to be counted. The majority of those, about 400,000 ballots, are in Maricopa County. That's the state's most populous county. That includes Phoenix. Of those ballots, about 290,000 were dropped off at vote centers on Election Day, according to Bill Gates, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors chairman. Those ballots have to be processed before they can be counted, leading to a lag time in tabulation. Gates said, we're now getting into what we call the late earlies. So these are early ballots we would have received over the weekend, or in specifically 290,000 that were dropped off on Election Day at our vote centers. The total was a record, he added. Those are expected to go for Lake by a not insignificant margin. In addition, Maricopa County has about 17,000 ballots that were attempted to be counted on Election Day, but were not read by the tabulator because of a printer error. Those ballots still need to be counted as well. So it's going to take a long time. In Pima County, that's Arizona's second most populous, officials said there were roughly 159,000 ballots left to be counted as of Wednesday evening. The county doesn't expect to complete the count until November 14th or 15th. The uncounted ballots include more than 54,000 early ballots still being processed by the recorder's office. Nevada still has mail-in ballots arriving as well. Clark County received more than 12,000 postmarked ballots from the post office on Wednesday, according to the Clark County Registrar. The number dropped significantly on Thursday. The county received about 626 ballots from the Postal Service, but that is a very, very tight election. It's quite possible that you'll end up with a hand recount in some of these states because things are so close. Meanwhile, overall, the Republican gains in the House seem to be shrinking fairly dramatically. Steve Kornacki is now suggesting, according to his NBC polling, that the or their sort of surveying and studies, that the eventual Republican House majority will be a House majority of, I kid you not, 3 seats. They will end up with a 220 House majority. Okay, it takes 218 to end up with just a sheer 218 to 217 majority. That'd be an extraordinarily small majority, smaller currently than the majority the Democrats have. Those are not amazing numbers, considering that this was supposed to be, at the very least, a red tide election in favor of the Republicans. Now, it's possible we still don't have all the votes in. It's possible still that Democrats could maintain control of the House. Now, that's unlikely because essentially Democrats would have to clean sweep the rest of the outstanding races. With that said, it is not totally out of the realm of possibility. Joe Biden has already called to congratulate Kevin McCarthy on becoming the prospective Speaker of the House. We'll have to see how everything shakes down. Bottom line is dramatic underperformance by the House Republicans in a wide variety of races. We'll get to more on this in just 1 second. First, folks, the most important part of the holiday season is being with family. Sadly, many of our wounded, ill, and injured service members are without the means to be with their loved ones this Christmas. Being apart, especially when ill or injured, can cause both them and their kids incredible stress and grief. No child should be without their parents on Christmas. That's why I support Luke's Wings, and you should too. Luke's Wings believes that every wounded warrior should spend the holidays with their loved ones. Since 2008, it provided more than 14,000 airplane tickets, reuniting families with wounded warriors. This Christmas, join me and help Luke's Wings reunite 500 wounded warriors with their families by making a tax-deductible donation at lukeswings.org today. Please don't wait. Airfare is rising fast. These soldiers and their kids are running out of time. Make a meaningful impact this Christmas. Bring a soldier and their family together by donating today at lukeswings.org. That's lukeswings.org. Again, lukeswings.org. Hard to think of a better cause than bringing together parents and children, particularly if those parents happen to be people who served the country in the most heroic possible way. Go check out lukeswings.org. Again, that is lukeswings.org, and give generously. That's lukeswings.org. So all of this raises questions about which constituencies put Democrats over the top, because broad scale over the course of the country, Republicans did outpoll Democrats by somewhere between 2 and 4%. Democrats did win the what they call the House popular vote. Now, the House popular vote doesn't mean a thing, because just like the presidential vote, popular vote doesn't. That's not how you get people elected. The Electoral College is how you do it with the presidency. House popular vote means nothing because you could stack up a bunch of votes in New York, and that wouldn't solve for the problem of winning close races in Kentucky if you're the Republicans, for example. Okay, but there are a couple of factors that people have thrown out there as possibilities for why the Democrats did better than expected. So first, the Democrats claimed that it was the young, right? That if you looked at the number of young people who showed up, that young people were the ones who put Democrats over the top. Thank God for the young people, because in the exit polling, it showed that people above the age of 40 voted Republican, people below the age of 40 voted Democrat. There's only one problem. There was no youthquake. David Shore, who's the head of data science at Blue Rose Research, he used to be a sort of mainstream data guy, except that he said things Democrats didn't like, so they threw him out on his ass. But he put out on Twitter, there was no youthquake. Turnout relative to 2018 was strongly associated with age, with turnout increasing starkly in older counties and decreasing the most in younger counties. So the notion that a bunch of young people basically put the Democrats over the top is not true. So who did put the Democrats over the top? Well, it appears that the single greatest factor putting Democrats over the top demographically, because remember, Democrats lost with they actually lost votes from 2018 to 2022 with black voters, with Hispanic voters, with white voters, like across the board. They did worse than they did in 2018. So what exactly helped them mitigate their losses? The answer is unmarried women. And single women are the ones who help put Democrats across the finish line in a lot of these races. The Washington Examiner broke down the vote by marital status in their exit polling. And what they found is that married men voted Republican over Democrat 59 to 39. Married women voted Republican over Democrat 56 to 42. Unmarried men, single men, voted Republican 52 to 45. And all the single ladies voted Democrat. They voted 68 to 31 for the Democrats, which, of course, prompted Joe Biden yesterday to congratulate American women on, quote unquote, beating the hell out of the Republicans. Now, presumably, he really just means single women, because the married women voted for the Republicans. And as we're going to discuss at length right now, we're going to talk about why single women have now become a large increasing voter block in favor of the Democrats. It's a great example of how societal hollowing out of institutions has created entire new voter blocks who are greatly enthralled with the power of government. Here is Joe Biden thanking all the ladies.
As I said, women in America made their voices heard, man. I said last year that one of the most extraordinary things about the Dobbs decision is what was about to challenge American women when the justice said, let's see, they have it in their power, basically saying, let's see what they're going to do. Well, guess what? Y'all showed up and beat the hell out of them.
You beat the hell out of the who? The justices? That doesn't sound like bringing unity and peace, Mr. President. But the underlying message here, and this is something really important, is that when you get rid of the social institutions that actually are the middlemen for your life, right? They are the things that shape your life. They shape how you interact with society. And the closer the institution is to you, the more it shapes your life. Your family is a social institution. We've treated it now as a private institution. It is not. Family is a social institution. It has always been reinforced and undergirded by the rules of the road that exist in our communities, in our small-scale societies. And typically, the way that you are shaped as a human being, you're born into a family. Your family exists within a local community. That local community exists within a broader political framework, within a civil society. That local civil society exists in a state society, which exists within a federal society, right? There are these layers into which you are born, and they all shape you. When you eviscerate, as the left has successfully done in the United States, all of the layers between you and the federal government, and it's only worked with certain groups, but when you eviscerate those layers, people end up very dependent on the federal government, because the only institution that actually helps you and shapes you is that institution. And so this is what we've seen with the death of marriage. A lot of Republicans have been conservative and very upset about the rise of same-sex marriage or the lack of marriage in the United States. They've been very upset about the idea that marriage has gone by the wayside in the United States. The reason for that is the redefinition of marriage from social institution to private institution that is supposed to be greenlit and enshrined by the federal government. The only institution that really matters in this viewpoint is not marriage is an adjunct. It doesn't matter, marriage. It's not an independent institution. Family is not an independent institution anymore. Essentially, family is just how you get together in your house. It's a bonds of relationship. It's about love. It's not about the effect on society. And the rules for your family are just kind of between who's in the household. The changing definition of marriage is a fundamental fact in Western life, and it's completely destroying the society at large, because it's essentially eviscerating, as we say, all of the social bonds that exist absent the federal government. You're now an atomized individual who lives in perhaps consensual relations with a small group of people. And then over time, those ties kind of fall apart, and it's just you, the individual, floating atomistically through society and the federal government. And there's nothing in between, because all of the social fabric has been destroyed. Marriage is the most obvious example of this, because marriage is the fundamental basis for all society. Again, marriage was a social institution. This is why you have a wedding in front of a public, for example. This is why in Judaism, you actually have a document that is signed by witnesses, because it is not merely you have decided to get together with somebody. This has social ramifications. The community has an interest in whether you stay together, for example, with your spouse. The community has an interest in how you raise your kids. That does not mean that they get to rule how you raise your kids in every aspect, but it does mean that they help define the institution that defines your marriage, that defines your kids. Marriage was always a social institution. Everybody understands this. This has been true throughout human history. Only now have we redefined marriage into sort of a private arrangement between you and the other person, and treated it as though you and the other person had sort of like a consensual business arrangement that is not even subject to court oversight. We treat marriage now with the casualness of you and a friend getting together for lunch, and that is not what marriage traditionally was. This is why you've seen, for example, the wide acceptance of cohabitation as a substitute for marriage, because cohabitation is what marriage is now perceived as. If you ask most Americans now, what's the difference between two people living together and two people who are married? They'd have a very tough time telling you. Now, in the olden days, and I'm talking here like 20 years ago, if you ask people what's the difference between cohabitation and marriage, what they would say is one of these things is they used to literally call it living together in sin, right? The idea would be that you're living without any sort of social imprimatur for your relationship. And this is something not good. You want a social imprimatur for your relationship. You want a religious imprimatur for your relationship. You want to be inculcated into an institution because institutions shape and guide you. Cohabitation doesn't do anything of the sort. It conveys no commitment. What we've done in this country is that we've essentially gotten rid of that. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
All right, coming up, we'll get into more of the research on marriage and cohabitation, why marriage is dying in the United States. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So we are talking about the rise of single women as a voting bloc in favor of Democrats, why that's happening. And so what we see is changing views of marriage, for example. So Pew Research, if you look at their they did a study in 2019, marriage and cohabitation in the United States. The share of adults who have lived with a romantic partner is now higher than the share who have ever been married. Married adults are more satisfied with their relationships and more trusting of their partners. That, of course, is not a shock, as we'll talk about. None of this is actually good for the single ladies. None of this is actually good for the country. It turns out that the happiest women in America are the women who are married with kids. That doesn't mean they shouldn't have a job. Doesn't mean they can't work. If we are to create social institutions that foster human happiness, which is what social institutions are for, we might want to look at the things that actually make people happy. And it turns out that telling women that the things that are most meaningful to them in life, like getting married and having kids, that these things are simple sort of adjuncts to a successful life, that maybe you do them, maybe you don't, they're really not all that important. You can lead just as happy a life sipping wine at age 40, single, alone in your apartment while working 2,200 billable hours at a law firm. You're going to be just as happy as you would be if you had been married for 15 years and you have three little kids playing around you and you're working part-time. That does not seem correct. By any available sociological data, that does not seem correct. And yet, that is what many people have been inculcated into. And the institution of marriage has not shaped people. This is why, by the way, women vote differently if they are married and if they are single. It's for two reasons. One, the subgroup of women who get married tend to be more conservative. And two, the institution of marriage actually does shape women because your interests change. You're now more interested in how your kids are brought up. You're more interested in your family not being ruled by the federal government. Men also change, not as greatly as women do, but they also change. They get more conservative when they get married. So when you undermine marriage in a society, what you end up doing is undermining conservatism. Young adults in the United States are particularly accepting of cohabitation, according to Pew. 78% of those aged 18 to 29 say it's acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together, even if they don't plan to get married. The majorities across all age groups now share this view. This is a radical shift in how society has worked, really since the 1960s and the rise of birth control. And because before that, if you lived together in sin, the idea was that likely you were going to have some sort of illegitimate child, and that would be bad for the kid. And so about the externality of the kid. But that's not really the reason why living together used to be considered morally wrong. It was not just about the kid. It was about the idea that living together without any serious long-term commitment is a sin against the other person. That a better thing to do is to put sex within the confines of a committed lifelong relationship. Because this creates trust. It creates bonds. It creates social fabric. It embeds you in time and in space. These are good things. We've broken all those boundaries. Not religious people, by the way. About 3/4 of Catholics, 74% of Catholics, and white Protestants who do not self-identify as born-again or evangelical now say that it's acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together even if they don't plan to get married. But if you identify as born-again or evangelical, basically if you are a very religious person, you still believe that there is a problem with this sort of behavior. Now, as far as what makes people happier, the answer is that what makes people happier actually is getting married. If you get married, you are likely to have higher earnings. You are likely to have more sexual satisfaction. You are likely to raise your kids in a better way. And what you see is that now, here's the key poll result from this Pew Research poll. Most Americans don't see being married as essential to living a fulfilling life, which is kind of wild because that is the most important relationship you will ever have in your entire life is the marriage that you have and the family that you create. What's more essential, having working long hours, sexual libertinism? What exactly is more essential? I struggle to think of a thing more essential than marriage, actually. Only small shares of U.S. adults say marriage is essential for a man, 16%, or a woman, 17%, to live a fulfilling life. 54% say being married is important, but not essential for each. 3 in 10 say being married is not important for a man or a woman to live a fulfilling life. Now, what that really says, by the way, is that Americans are so afraid of being labeled judgmental that they refuse to say that it's actually essential for people to get married. It is essential for people to get married. That doesn't mean that everybody will. It doesn't mean that people can't live lives individually that are the best that they want to choose if they don't get married. But is it an essential? Yeah, it's an essential. I would say having kids is essential to people's lives. Social institutions, again, are breaking down. Once marriage started being seen as something else, once it started being seen as simply a private arrangement between two people, it began to collapse. So this meant a couple of things. One, once it began to be seen as not a social arrangement, but a private thing between two people, you ended up expanding the definition of marriage to include everyone. Right? This is why you have Joe Rogan talking with Matt Walsh about marriage. And Joe is like, I don't understand why two people can't just get married if they love each other. And Matt is like, it's a social institution. That's why. Because society has an interest in a man and a woman getting married and having kids. It's two very different versions of what marriage is. It's a definitional question. It also means the concomitant decline of marriage altogether. Because if it's really just about two people who love each other, why can't you do that without a marital document? Why can't you do that without a prenup and all the complications of having to file taxes together? Why don't you just get together and live together? And that's what we're actually seeing. You can see this in the marriage rates in the United States. And what we're watching here is the slow roll death of Western civilization through the decline of marriage. So this is a chart, for those who cannot see it, of 144 years of marriage and divorce in the United States. What you see starting, and we have pretty good stats from the census, starting just after the Civil War, you see that the rate of marriage per 1,000 people was just under 10. That stays relatively stable all the way until about the mid-1980s. Here's what happens. It starts to go up during the 1900 to 1910 era to just above 10 as increasing prosperity allows people to get married. And then it goes way down during the Great Depression. People stop getting married because they can't afford to get married. And then you see during World War II that it spikes the rate of marriage. And you see a spike in divorce directly after World War II because a lot of people sort of rushed into marriage thinking, I'm going to die tomorrow, so I'm going to get married today. So you see a giant spike in divorce that happens right in 1946. And then it kind of goes back down to the normal. You have these very high rates of marriage up until about the early 1950s. Now, there's sort of an artificial dip in the level of marriage between 1955 and 1965 or so. What that is not that fewer people are getting married. It's that there's a giant baby boom, so there are just more people. So if the rate is the number of people getting married per 1,000 people in the United States, you have a giant wave of people who are now born, that means that the rate is going to go down even if the same number of people year on year are getting married. So this rate stays fairly stable, right? About 10 per 1,000 people are getting married every year in the United States. And then in about 1985, you see a steep decline all the way down to right now in the United States, about 6.8. So from our height or average height, when you're talking about mid-1970s, we're like 11, close to 12 sometimes, marriages per 1,000 people, we're now down to a little, maybe 60% of that. And it's a steady decline. It's a very marked and very steady decline. You can see it happening. Alrighty, coming up, we'll get into the reason why marriage declined in the United States. One big reason is divorce. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Reading Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Reading Kia. ReadingKia.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So we're looking at the reasons for decline of marriage in the United States, the rise of single women as a sort of independent voter bloc. One reason is the rise of divorce in the 70s and 80s. So what exactly happened? The answer is the redefinition of marriage. And the reason for the redefinition of marriage is because of the second thing on that chart, which is the divorce rates. So what you see is that no-fault divorce becomes a thing in the United States starting in about 1970. And you can, in 1969, Ronald Reagan, then governor of California, in a move he said was one of the worst of his career, he signed into law in California no-fault divorce, which was the idea that before that you had to make an excuse to a court why you wanted to divorce your spouse. Adultery, abuse, and something that actually necessitated you breaking with your spouse. Then California led the way by signing no-fault divorce in 1969. And you start to see divorce rates skyrocket. Right? That's why you see all these movies like Kramer versus Kramer that are cropping up in the 1970s, all about divorce and the breaking up of the American family. The rates of divorce skyrocket from about 2 in 1,000 all the way up to about 5 in 1,000. So they more than double over the course of a decade, like significantly more than double over the course of the decade. By early 1980s to mid-1980s, what you have is no-fault divorce that has now taken place in nearly every state. So what does that mean? It means fewer people start getting married. Why? Because what's the point? What's the point? What exactly is the lock-in? You may as well not get married. Cohabiting is essentially the same as marriage. If marriage is freely enterable and freely exitable, then what exactly is the point? Why don't you skip the whole thing? You may as well just cohabit. And so this is what you've seen. A rising share of people in the United States who are cohabiting or never getting together with anybody, and a decline in the institution of marriage. And this, unsurprisingly, coincides with a rising share of singles in the United States. You can see a rising share of U.S. adults are now living without a spouse or a partner in the United States. That is not particularly shocking, right? You can see right here. This is from 1990 to 2019 from the Pew Research Center. For those who can't see the chart, what you see is that in 1990, about 67% of the population aged 25 to 54 was married. As of 2019, that number was 53%. That's a serious decline. You see that the number of people cohabiting from 1990 to 2019 has more than doubled, from 4% to 9%. And the number of people who are unpartnered, or not cohabiting and not married, has risen from 29% to 38%. So we went from a country that was essentially two-thirds married to a country that is only about half married for people between the ages of 25 and 54, because the definition of marriage changed, and marriage itself as an institution declined. This, not shockingly, coincides with the median age of first marriage rising dramatically by sex in the United States. Because again, if marriage is not a social institution fostered by everyone around it, people encouraged to get married, people encouraged to have kids, people told that their local communities, those militating institutions, are going to help them out when they have kids. When we have kids, look, we have kids, right? We have three. There's a whole community built around people having kids. Here's the way that it works in my community when somebody has a child. First, there's a wedding, always in my community. Okay, there is no single motherhood in the Orthodox Jewish community. It's not a thing that happens. So you get married, then you have sex, and you have kids. When you have a kid, the entire community comes around you. I'd say almost every week in our community, there's a kid who's born. And when there's a kid who's born, the entire community starts a meal train. You have a WhatsApp group, and people just bring meals for like 2 weeks, minimum. Anything you need. You have a group of friends. You have family. You have the rabbi. Right? Everyone will get involved to make sure that mom has everything that she needs, because this is a communal thing. The community gets together to celebrate the birth of the child. This is why family formation is a big thing. There are weddings all the time in our community. And it's wonderful. It's a big social event, not just for partying, but also to celebrate the fact that there is a new little platoon, as Edmund Burke might put it, that is building up the society. And the ramifications, by the way, for progeneration are pretty dramatic. One of the stories that I saw recently is kind of amazing. Israel just had its recent election. Israel happens to be, by the way, the only Western country that has above replacement rates of childbearing. They're at about 2.5. So Israel, there's a woman who voted. She's 101, voted in the last Israeli election. She has 800 grandchildren. 800, great-grandchildren, descendants. Because she had like 10 kids, and all of her kids had 10 kids, and they all had 10 kids, and that's what you end up with. And that is not the way that it works in the United States right now. Right now, you can see, look at the age, the dramatic age increase in marriage right here. So in 1950, the average age of a woman getting married was a little over 20. And the average age of a man was about 24. By the way, those are exactly the ages at which I got married to my wife. I was 24, she was 20. Now you see, it starts to spike, starting in 1950. It's still flat for men. Men kind of trail. But then it starts to rise. By 2010, the average age of first marriage for women is about 27. The average age of first marriage for men is over 28. And that's just for the people who are getting married. That's not counting all the people who aren't getting married. If you look at the marital status of the U.S. population this last year by sex, what you see is, again, a dramatic decline in the number of people who are married in the United States. This is why, again, all of this is to explain why single women are now a voter bloc and why they have particular interests as a voter bloc. The redefinition of marriage, the evisceration of the social institutions that used to be what kept people happy and healthy and provided the social support for them. For single people, those institutions don't exist in the same way because, again, they're sort of left out of the bargain. In the Orthodox community, if you're single, there aren't meal trains, right? That's not the way that it works. If you're married and you have kids and you just had a baby, then the meal train comes. A little bit more on this in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Hey, so, marital status of the U.S. population in 2021 by sex. So what you see is that 47.35 million men have never been married. You see that 41.81 million women have never been married. The number of men who have been married total, or who are married right now, total, is about 68 million men and about 68 million women, a little bit fewer men than women say that they are currently married, which is sort of odd. Not sure why there's an imbalance there. Theoretically, I guess maybe there are 5 men who are married to 2 women or something. Very strange. In any case, if you add together the 42 million women who have never been married with the 15 million women who are divorced, that's 67 million women. There's 68 million women who are currently married. Okay, so that's now a major voter bloc. And what you see also, if you go back to the original Washington Examiner chart, what you actually see, based on the voting rate, is that unmarried women, even though theoretically they are less of the voting population, they actually are kind of not. Okay, if you measure them out, what you see is that if there are 56 million single or divorced women in the United States and 68 million married women in the United States, and you see the vast gap between how unmarried women vote and married women vote, it actually amounts to the same thing. Unmarried women completely canceled out married women in the last election cycle. And that's because of that vast voter imbalance. So this raises a question. Why are single women voting the way that they are? Why do single women want more government? Why do single women vote differently on abortion, as we'll see they do? Why do they do all of this? So you might think, for example, that single women should actually vote for less government because single women have more college degrees than men, for example. If you're highly educated, maybe you earn more. If you earn more, maybe you want fewer taxes. Maybe you need fewer social services. What you see, for example, is that women are now getting more college degrees and men are falling behind more. If you look at the number of, women who are getting college degrees versus the number of men who are getting college degrees, you can see that there has been a dramatic increase in the number of women who are getting college degrees between 1970 and 2021. In 1970, 12% of women aged 25 to 34 had a bachelor's degree. As of 2021, that number was 46 million. For men, the number went from 20% to 36%. So men went from almost double the number of bachelor's degrees as women to having about 25% fewer bachelor's degrees than women. So you see that women in the United States are outpacing men in college graduation. However, you see that men are falling behind pretty dramatically. So why exactly is it that single women are voting for the government? To answer that, what you have to see is the household hours worked and female labor force participation rate over time. So if you take a look at this, this is kind of fascinating. These are some stats from a study from the University of Chicago showing the hours worked per adult and the labor force participation rate. So hours worked for single women versus married women. What you see is that for married women, the number of household hours increased dramatically between like 1955 and 1985. And for single women, it kind of dipped and then it stayed even. The labor force participation rate is the thing that really is worthwhile noting here. What you see is that married women start to work in much, much bigger numbers than single women. Single women in 1955, 80% of them were participating in the labor force. In 1985, 80% of them were participating in the labor force. The great lie that single women weren't in the labor force in 1955, it's not true. They may have had different jobs. They may have had jobs that weren't as lucrative. They may have been discriminated against. They were working. Single women were working at a clip of about 80% in the 1950s, and they're working at a clip of about 80% in 1985. Married women is the difference. Why? Why did married women suddenly start working? The answer is, a lot of the single women kept working when they got married. And what this meant is what Elizabeth Warren called the two-income trap. When married women kept working as opposed to going home and staying with the kids, largely because of the idea that marriage was no longer a social institution, raising kids was no longer nearly as important, that women in the workplace, this was a vital, vital thing to do, it was a vital constituency to serve. Once that happened, you ended up with an actual gap emerging between single women and married women in terms of earnings, because married women are now part of a two-income household. And those married women are earning, along with their husband, a lot more than the single women. So single women started working and kept working. Married women, over time, were not working. They would go from single and working to married and not working, and that would now be a one-income household. And then what you see is that they start working. So now you have a very high married labor force participation rate. And what that means is that those households do amazing because they have twice the income. This is, again, Elizabeth Warren used to be a kind of creative and independent thinker. If you go back to the early 2000s, kind of shocking. She wrote a book called The Two-Income Trap. And what she said is what this was creating was inflation in real estate, for example, because now you had two incomes and they could pay for bigger houses, as opposed to the single woman who's locked out, or the single man who was locked out, or the one-income household that was locked out. What does all of that mean? It means that unpartnered adults are faring less well. You can actually see the impact on single women. Married women are now doing better than ever, but single women are doing worse in many ways than they ever have done. Unpartnered adults are not faring as well as partnered peers on a range of outcomes, according to Pew Research. So what you see here is that the number of partnered people who have completed at least a bachelor's degree is 41%. Unpartnered people, 29%. Median earnings, partnered adults, $49,000. Single adults, $35,000. Right? This is, like, the numbers are pretty stunning right here. They're not faring as well. So what does that mean? Well, it means that they need a second income. Who's that second income going to be for single women? Who's it going to be for a lot of single women who may not have the bachelor's degree? Because remember, only 46% of women actually have a bachelor's degree, which means 54% do not. So what's going to happen to all the single women who don't have a bachelor's degree, or who do have a bachelor's degree, but they aren't earning that much money? Where is that second income going to come from? Who's going to be the partner to them? Well, the answer is, again, because we eviscerated marriage as a social institution that was important for people to engage in, that provides fulfillment, that creates social structure, that creates social stability. Because of that, what you end up with is the Joe Biden famous Life of Linda. We'll get to that in just 1 second. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your keys in your car while you run into the gas station for a snack. Most of the time, probably fine. What if you come back and there's just some weird guy who's driving off with your car? And what if it's Joe Biden? I mean, that's scary stuff. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, cafes, hotels, airports, any hacker on the same network can gain access to your personal data. It doesn't take much technical knowledge to hack somebody. Just some cheap hardware is necessary. One of my kids could probably do it. Your data is valuable. Hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling personal info on the dark web. So why use ExpressVPN? Well, first, it creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so hackers can't steal your sensitive data. It would also take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. You can fire up the app, click one button, get protected. It works on all your devices. We're talking phones, laptops, tablets, and more, so you can stay secure on the go. Secure your online data today. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. You can get an extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/hire.
Already coming up, if Democrats don't believe largely in marriage, if they think of marriage as sort of an adjunct to life, something that's not so important, what does life look like when you get rid of all the militating social institutions? Well, it looks like the life of Linda. It's Joe Biden's favorite. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
From our family at Market Street, Blade and Barrel, thank you, Reading Rancheria, for all you do. You guys rock the community. Thanks again. See you soon.
From the family of Trendy, we want to thank Reading Rancheria for all you have done for the businesses of the community of Reading. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, If you get rid of marriage, if you get rid of family, if you get rid of all the important things in life, those important social institutions, what replaces it? The answer is government. What do you end up with if you have an entire group of people, single women, who are falling behind married women, who are not engaged in a social structure, who've had the most important mediating institution in human existence, marriage, ripped away from them? They've been told that it's no longer essential. It's not important. In fact, in many ways, it's an institution that hems them in and harms their creativity. So what do they require? Well, they're going to require a couple of things. One, they might require some government help. Whenever single women are voting at a larger clip for bigger government, this would be the answer. This is why Joe Biden knows his own constituency. This is why you'll recall that Joe Biden's campaign actually put out what they called the Life of Linda. And the Life of Linda is exactly who Joe Biden thinks he is talking to. It is these women. Quote, Linda is a working mother in Peoria, Illinois. She works at a local manufacturing facility as a production worker and earns $40,000 per year. She is pregnant with her son, Leo. Now, there's dad. He doesn't exist. There is no dad. Apparently, it was a virgin conception. No one knows. Dad does not. He's nowhere in the picture. Who's dad? Joe Biden is dad. The government is dad. Once Leo is born, Linda begins receiving child tax credits of $300 per month, $3,600 annually to help cover essential costs like groceries, rent, and medicine. Well, what a happy, fulfilled life. That's amazing, because the government is now paying the check. As Leo grows up, the government helps cover the cost for his daycare, guaranteeing Linda doesn't need to pay more than 7% of her income on child care. It used to be, in two-parent married households, before we decided that it was imperative and very important, not that women should be able to choose to work, but that women should work. It is important. They must work. Before that, it used to be you didn't need daycare, because daycare was basically a factory where you sent your kids. Mom spent an awful lot of time with the kids. When Leo turns 3, he is then immediately shipped off to a government training center, a high-quality pre-K program for free. How exciting. Again, all of this because of the evisceration of marriage. When Leo leaves high school, he's able to enroll in a community college thanks to extended Pell Grants and investments in community college. So mom and dad don't work and scrape and save and earn in order to pay for the college education. We just give it for free. Then, of course, Leo ends up as a wind turbine technician. The important thing to understand about Leo is that it's not about Leo. It's about Linda. The life of Linda. Does this sound like a fulfilling, happy life to you? Where's Linda's engagement with her church? Where's Linda's community? Doesn't exist. Where's Linda's husband? Doesn't exist. This is who Joe Biden is talking to, though. Because, again, if you're a single woman falling behind your married peers, and you've been told all your life that marriage is actually a stymieing, patriarchal institution, and you look across the road at the women who got married and have kids, and many of them also work, and you say to yourself, maybe I'm missing out on something. That doesn't feel good. You know what would have helped Linda here? What might have helped Linda is if she never had Leo at all. What might have helped Linda is if she'd had an abortion. You wonder why single women in the United States are so invested in abortion? Because marriage is not on the radar. Marriage is not as important. Now, of course, it isn't true for all single women, but it's true for a large segment of single women, is that if they are militantly single, if the idea is I'm happy because I'm single, well, one of the aspects of female freedom would be not being saddled with a child, as Barack Obama once said. If my daughter made a mistake, I wouldn't want her to be punished with a child. Now, most of us don't see child as punishment. We see it as one of the goals of life is to have children. But because we've eviscerated marriage, and marriage is a social institution, then kids become sort of like a purse. Like a dog. Do you need a kid? Is the kid good for you? If you get pregnant with the kid, it's kind of inconvenient. Let's be real about this. And this is what you see. The women who get abortions in America are almost entirely unmarried, despite the fact that the left in the United States likes to claim that the average woman who is having an abortion is actually a married mother of 3 and she just can't deal with her 4th kid who may be Down syndrome or something. First of all, bad enough. But that's not actually what the stats show. What they show is that only 14% of women who have sought an abortion, according to Guttmacher Institute, are married. 31% are cohabiting. 46% are never married and single. 9% are previously married but now single. Okay, that is the gap. That is the breakdown. You wonder why abortion sent single women to the polls in big numbers and why they voted 68 to 31 for Democrats? Because Roe did matter to them. Roe mattered to them because we have created an entire class of human beings in the United States that didn't exist for nearly all of human history. Human beings who are militantly in favor of dropping the things that make life most valuable, the things that make life most meaningful. It's not their fault. And again, there are some single women who don't fit into this box. It's just the thing they want to do. And yeah, they're happy. They have a great life. But that is not what the social science statistics show. The vast majority of people who live a lifelong single existence, particularly for women, lifelong single existence, no kids, that is not a recipe for happiness. It is not. I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm sorry if this is offensive to people. It is not a recipe for broad-scale human happiness. It is not the recipe for a successful society. By the way, the people who also get abortions, they live in blue states. So you wonder why? Exactly. Single women living in blue states are voting for Democrats. That would be the answer. 68% of women who obtained an abortion voted for Joe Biden. And 32% lived in states that voted for Trump. So this is why Joe Biden is very much interested in the votes of single women. And this undergirds so many of the other culture battles that are currently taking place in the United States. This is why parents are now forming up as a bloc, because it turns out that married women and married men are much more of a voter bloc, and they're going to become a more cohesive voter bloc as they're alienated from the values that Joe Biden has promulgated and his party has promulgated and the left has promulgated in the United States for the last 50, 60 years. As that happens, parents are going to start looking across the aisle and they're going to say, I don't understand why you guys get to decide what happens with our kids. This has educational implications. The same election where single women showed up to vote for Democrats, for Congress, because they wanted to preserve abortion. The same election, pretty much every school board in the country moved to the right, because you know who's animated to vote on behalf of their kids? People who have kids. You know what those people actually care about? Militating social institutions like marriage and local community and how their schools work. Meanwhile, you have the left, which is treating kids as in many ways, the radical left or the social left, they treat kids as sort of adjuncts. They're things you can have, but you don't really need. They're not essential features of life. This has consequences. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Senator Mark Kelly wins in Arizona, putting Democrats one seat away from control of the Senate.
Democrat Senator Mark Kelly has won his bid for re-election in the crucial swing state of Arizona. Kelly defeated Republican venture capitalist Blake Masters on Friday to put his party one seat away from clinching control of the Senate. With Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote, Democrats can retain control of the chamber by winning either the Nevada race, which remains too early to call, or next month's runoff in Georgia. Republicans now must win both outstanding races to take the majority. Other Arizona contests, including the closely watched race for governor between Democrat Kelly Hobbs and Republican Carrie Lake, are still too early to call. I'm Bernie Bennett.
Senate Democrats, meantime, waiting until the week of December 5th to hold their leadership elections. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expected to win re-election. Republican Joe Lombardo is the winner in the race to become governor of Nevada. Lombardo previously served as sheriff of Clark County. The Biden administration planning to make the American energy industry even less productive. The president has announced plans to cut emissions from oil and gas producers. The EPA unveiled its proposal at the UN Climate Change Conference in Egypt. Mexico turns to the U.S. for drug prevention.
The Mexican government is using video of homeless people and open-air drug users in Philadelphia's embattled Kensington neighborhood in a national ad campaign to try to scare young people away from drugs. The spots never identify the city shown, but just how or why the Mexican government decided to use real-life footage of struggling Americans to scare people in a country with its own drug problems is unclear. Critics say the ads recycle 1980s-era scare tactics rather than offer help. John Scott reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
The fact of pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
I miss my baby. Someone stole my baby. By the way, my baby is my landscaping truck that was literally stolen from a job site. Baby, won't you please come home?
Owning a small business isn't always as lovely as it sounds, but with 30-plus customizable coverage options, Progressive Commercial keeps your business humming along. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com.
I love my sweetheart. By the way, that's my riding lawnmower.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Coverage and discounts not available for all vehicles or states. Policy terms and conditions apply.
How to feed a hungry world. That's the topic of talks between top Russian and UN officials.
They're meeting in Switzerland, trying to iron out the extension of a deal allowing Ukrainian grain shipments and Russian food and fertilizer exports. There's just over a week left before the wartime agreement meant to ease a global food crisis is set to expire. The deal is crucial because Ukraine and Russia are major suppliers of grain and other food to parts of the world where hunger is a severe, life-threatening problem. Rich Thomason reporting.
The results of the midterm election raising questions about the future of American support for Ukraine. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy warned last month that his party would not support writing a blank check for Ukraine if it captured the House majority. Twitter's relaunched premium service, which grants blue check verification labels to those paying $8 a month, is now unavailable after the media platform was flooded by a wave of imposter accounts. News and analysis at townhall.com. A federal judge blocks the president's student loan forgiveness program.
Federal District Judge Mark Pittman, a Trump appointee in Fort Worth, Texas, says the White House student loan forgiveness program is an unconstitutional effort to bypass Congress. Pittman writing, "In this country, we are not ruled by an all-powerful executive with a pen and a phone." The White House has argued the 2003 Higher Education Relief Opportunity for Students Act allows the Secretary of Education to waive or modify any statutory or regulatory provision applicable to the student financial assistance programs as part of a national emergency. Economists worry ending debt cancellation could cause many already strapped borrowers to fall behind and default. I'm Tim McGuire.
Former President Trump is suing to block a subpoena from the January 6th committee that would force him to testify in court next week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
If the GOP does take the House, the man expected to be in charge is current House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. McCarthy should be careful what he wishes for, because every recent Republican Speaker of the House has hated the job. GOP members are famously the most unpleasant people from every town in America. You think people like Marjorie Taylor Greene? They sent her to Congress to get her the f*** out of Georgia.
Yay, yay. Ah, the Democrat Party hate machine never takes a breath, do they? We still don't, because Democrats are still trying to count. In how many states? We still have dozens of undecided House races, three undecided Senate races, and the Democrat Party's propaganda machine, you heard the glassy-eyed zombie apocalypse in the audience, which I'm sure has also been cut in half like Jimmy Kimmel's. Gosh, I gotta tell you, happy Friday, first of all, and welcome. We are, as you might imagine, at 888-630-9625. That number is absolutely toll-free. Does a toll-free number actually matter? Are there any long-distance calls anymore? Hey, long-distance information. Get me Memphis, Tennessee. I'm marveling at the state of our country. It is not good. You know, if Joe Biden were doing a State of the Union address, I think he'd have to say State of the Union is pretty screwy. I got to say, pretty wacky. Wack-a-doodle-doo, America, because, you know, the Democrats, they fixed our system of electing our political leaders. And look at it now. On the other hand, in Florida, for example, Ron DeSantis actually did fix what was broken. And look at them. It took him, I think it took 5 hours for Florida, with 250 billion people, to count all their ballots, many times the population of Nevada or Arizona, where they're still doing their gazintas. I think they got Jethro Bodine in charge of counting all the ballots, and it doesn't appear to be going very well. So we still don't know who is which party will be in charge of the Senate. And honestly, we have expectations, but we still haven't resolved the House of Representatives either, because Democrats have pretty much upended our system of electing our political leaders. We're waiting on results out of Nevada for the U.S. Senate, out of Arizona for the U.S. Senate, and now we're going to have to wait until December 6th. Now, not like it'll be decided on December 6th either in Georgia, because, you know, Stacey Abrams, has she conceded? Has she conceded on camera? Because we've got a runoff there with Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock, who even the Washington Post suggested was way too extreme for Georgia and, for that matter, any place else. But when you're a Democrat, you know, they could run mousy tongue and Che Guevara and the New York Times would praise them. The Republicans could run St. Peter and they would demonize him and vilify him because, boy, our media, I've been saying for how many years now, Michael? I've been saying for so many years that really the central obstacle to things working properly in this country is our corrupt news media. It's the fourth estate. It's the geniuses that wrote our founding documents. Geniuses, absolute geniuses. Some of the greatest men ever to have lived and created the greatest system in the history of humankind. And they were so brilliant that they created the system of checks and balances, and the ultimate check in our system of checks and balances is a free and fair press. We don't have that. We have a press that's free to be as corrupt as they'd like to be, and they like to be very corrupt. So honestly, they are a key element in the Democrat Party's turning the country upside down, pulling our sock inside out, destroying confidence in our system of electing our leaders. Did you see in Nevada where they had they're doing their gazintas, they're counting the votes, and in Nevada they had a little episode last night. The lights went out on there. They had a live stream of and they said in Washoe County in Nevada, "We know that our election live stream cameras went dark overnight." Their cameras went dark in Nevada, where they got a squeaker going on for the Senate, and control of the Senate may hang in the balance. And, I mean, honestly, it reminded me of the movie Airplane, where airplane was coming into the airport, and the funny guy squatted down and pulled the plug out of the wall, and all the lights went out, right? And then he just said, "Just kidding," and plugged them back in. Well, the Democrats in Washoe County in Nevada, where we've got, you know, just the control of the Senate hangs in the balance. "We know our election live stream cameras went dark overnight." Didn't that happen in 2020 also? "We investigated what happened and how to prevent it happening again." That's, well, thanks. That's reassuring. Or not. There it is in Nevada. You know, they're doing everything they can to, to build up trust in our system. Because what's the matter with these people, honestly? Well, there is obviously a great deal to talk about on this front, and that's just scratching the surface. I mean, the House of Representatives, today is Friday. Election Day was allegedly Tuesday, but the Democrats wrecked that. It's election season. It's a month. It's a fiscal quarter. How long do we count for? We count until the Democrats have the greater number of ballots, not votes. This is kind of an interesting distinction that is now being made, and appropriately so, that the Democrats, they want the greatest number of ballots. The Republicans want the greatest number of voters. And this whole election day versus pre-election day, and the rallying lunatics on college campuses, and the mail-out ballots, and ballot harvesting, and no signatures, and no dates, and no postmarks, and we'll just count whatever the Democrats, they'll just count whatever they had, and they just keep coming in after Election Day. They go, "Hey, look, the Republicans are ahead," and they told us this ahead of time. Well, sure, the Republicans are going to be winning on Election Day when you count the votes. Then, for weeks afterward, we'll count the ballots. And we want to make sure that you don't have to sign them. You don't have to date them. They don't have to be postmarked. They don't have to be delivered by, you know, it doesn't matter. We just, we count the ballots as their boy, Joseph Stalin said, it's not the votes that count. It's who count the votes. It's an amazing time. Now, at the same time, we don't even know who's going to control the Senate. We assume we know who's going to control the House, but that's not over yet either. And the politics for the 2024 already off and running. President Trump going after Ron DeSantis in Florida. President Trump this morning going after the Virginia governor now, which is, gosh. And what is it? What did he say about him? It made a little funny about him this morning about going after Glenn Youngkin. And he says Youngkin. And it's like the word young at heart. Second word, kin, K-I-N, says, now that's an interesting take. Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? I mean, that's a little bit funny. Are we Team America or are we going to destroy ourselves before we even know who controls the Senate? I think is a fair question. So he says, Youngkin. Now, that's an interesting take. Sounds Chinese, doesn't it? In Virginia. Couldn't have won without me. I endorsed him. Did a very big Trump rally for him, telephonically. Got MAGA to vote for him. Or he couldn't have come close to winning, he says. Now, why that's pertinent today when we still don't know who's won the Senate, I just don't know. I've said this many times, and I'm going to be forced to say it again, not because I want to. President Trump demonstrates, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning, the most extraordinary political instincts I've ever seen in my life. He can see the future. He can see around corners. He can see years in advance. He's, you know, they're tapping my phones, one example. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he'll do something that just makes me say, why did he just do that? What was the, that is, and, you know, talking to friends of mine about it, as you might do, say, well, he's, you know, clearing the field of his competition. Well, that field is our field. That's our team. That's Team America. And, you know, the goal is to win the White House, not just to win the nomination. And, you know, that, President Trump, let's say he's the candidate for 2024, and we're expecting that he's going to announce that he's running on the 15th of this month. And in fact, the front page of the Washington Times today has the headline, Democrats urge Trump to kick off campaign. That's the Washington Times, the pro-American paper, Washington, D.C. Democrats urge Trump to kick off campaign. And it sounds almost like he already has before we know who controls the Senate. And we still have to get Herschel Walker in the runoff on December 6th elected and send him to Washington rather than that guy that, you know, loves Karl Marx and ran over his wife's foot with his car and all that stuff with a kids camp with the child abuse, things like that. But never mind that. And so the president going after Glenn Youngkin and going after Ron DeSantis. Now, I usually like to leave that to the media and the Democrats as a rule. Clearing the field, I don't think Glenn Youngkin or Ron DeSantis have said anything about running for president. So it might be, you know, just a tad premature. Again, we don't know the results of the midterm elections yet. And so I find it frustrating. I'm not a big fan of politics when it comes to this kind of politics, I've got to say. And President Trump posted a long a post about Ron DeSantis, and some of it is Ron DeSanctimonious is playing games! Exclamation mark. Democrat, and it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing stuff, I've got to say. Honestly, the NBC News, we played the audio for you on Friday when I was in Chicago, Illinois at WLS. played the audio for you. NBC News had a big breaking story about Paul Pelosi when the police showed up and they didn't know it was Nancy Pelosi's house. How would they know? Search me, you know? And they had to pat each other down. Hey, where are we? Could not be revealed. And he is like, hey, what's going on, police? Why are you guys here? And then he started walking back toward the alleged home invader, and he didn't say, this is an emergency. He didn't step outside into the protective arms of the police. No, no, none of it makes any sense. Now, I told you about that story on Friday, but then NBC News pulled the story Soviet style, again, like airbrushing Leon Trotsky out of old photos with Joseph Stalin and Vladimir Lenin, which the Soviet Union did, by the way, because they erased him and made him a non-person. And this boy, they just, NBC fake news, they just showed what a bunch of panty-waist bootlicks they are. On Friday, they pulled the story. They made it vanish. I was telling Michael and Bill this morning, before the big radio program, that I had when I saw they pulled the story. I went to my my Windows Safari and the DuckDuck, and I had the NBC print version of the story up in a tab, and so I tapped on the tab, and they had made the story vanish. It wouldn't take you to the story. It took you to a different story, which said, Paul Pelosi's real good, and we like him, and he wasn't wearing underwear, and whatever it said, it's completely insane, these people. So also, the political violence against Republicans continues. Shots fired at the family home of a North Carolina Republican House candidate. Carrie Lake's headquarters in Arizona received suspicious mail with white powder, and it's not even from Hunter Biden. Because then we'd know what it was. Suspicious items. A supporter of Lee Zeldin in New York was choked. A woman was choked and assaulted by a white man. She's a woman of color. You know, if this had just been a Trump rally and a big fat white guy with a beard choked and assaulted a woman of color who was supporting the Democrat, that'd be big news. The news media would be banging the drums and self-immolating and stuff. But it was just a Republican woman of color, and she was choked and assaulted and had her sign grabbed, ripped from her by the violent mob. But, you know, never mind. This is just a small sampling of the political violence by the Democrats because of the party rhetoric over the weekend. Remarkable stuff. Crime stories, Philadelphia, Chicago. And on and on. Boy, we've got a lot for you. Elon Musk, another funny Elon Musk moment, because there's a woman who, I guess, she self-describes as a comedian in the same way that Rachel Dolezal self-described as African-American. But we will, we'll get to this. Elon Musk with another funny little moment. And the Democrats. I've got, James Clyburn, the end of the world. It's the end of the world. Tomorrow could be the end of the world. Then he said that he never said that. Like, here's the video. And he looks at it and says, I never said that. You just said it, like, hours ago. We're at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I'm asking about Prevnar 20.
Halloween is over, but hiring is still a bit scary. Indeed's end-to-end solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable, or you simply just don't like how it works, well, right now, during open enrollment, is a perfect time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month when they join MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to the industry. That's double. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for 30 years. It's shared more than $4 billion in healthcare bills. And here's why now is the perfect time to make the switch. If you join MediShare Complete by January 1st, they will waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off your first year. No fee to join, 10% off every month for all of next year. But again, it's a limited time offer. So yeah, you're not stuck. You've got a great option. Call now, 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE, 844-94-BIBLE.
Yellowstone, television's number one show, returns on Paramount Network.
I, John Dudley, do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the state of Montana against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Featuring an all-star cast led by Academy Award winner Kevin Costner.
The invasion is over.
They will fight you dirty.
Is there any other way?
As the Dutton family fights to protect their legacy, they'll learn power has a price.
Signing this is a declaration of war.
We're already at war.
Yellowstone returns Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern for an epic two-hour premiere event exclusively on Paramount Network.
Why wait to save? Dell Technologies' Black Friday event arrives early with select deals on top tech to power business productivity. The savings start now with up to 48% off performance business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, including free shipping on everything. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Black Friday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
Mm-hmm. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yeah. And we have UPS here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples is your one-stop shipping destination. Now get 50% off shipping boxes, mailers, or tubes when you buy five of the same item in-store or online with one-hour pickup. Staples, the best-kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Exclusions apply. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
Do you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes? Good news. There's a new way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative. Call U.S. Tax Shield, A-plus rated with the BBB, 800-391-5063, for your free consultation. And let U.S. Tax Shield protect you from the IRS.
American Financing is the lender you want on your side when it comes to buying a home. Whether you're looking for a starter home or you're ready for something bigger, they've got you covered. From custom home loans to fast closings and everything in between, you can always expect the best deal. Just call 866-886-2026. That's 866-886-2026 or visit AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLS ConsumerAccess.org.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
Message and data rates may apply.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now, and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
The media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, are pulling out all the stops. The crazy meter is pegged. It's at 102. Because it's the end of the world. The world is going to end. Your children will be arrested and killed if the Republicans win because, you know, those terrible people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. Let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Tom calling from Springfield, Virginia. Thomas, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Good to talk to you again. It's been a while.
Welcome.
I'm the old former cop from Chicago.
Yeah,
I wanted to tell you that just to back what you're saying is so true. I travel when I changed my career. long story, became a naval officer. When I went back to, I had an associate, I had to go back and earn a bachelor's degree. And when I was doing so, I got mine in Soviet studies. And an opportunity arose, and I wound up doing extensive travel in the Soviet Union in 1984. And yes, it was very Orwellian. Listening to today's media is like a throwback to 84 for me, because it's the same kind, the mentality, the way they do things, like you said, Soviet-esque, where they just, oh, we got to change the story. They remove it, and next thing you know, it's a different story, that they will deny things that are right in front of their face. It is exactly that. And all my, I have a lot of friends who are former communist country citizens who are now U.S. citizens, Bulgaria, Russia, Ukraine, and they all say the same thing. They say they are not Democrats because they won't be Democrats because they mimic exactly what they were escaping from.
It's exactly right. I have friends and neighbors, also my friends Igor and Irina from the Soviet Union, and they were warning me back during the Obama presidency that, you know, these are not Democrats. These are communists, and that's the word that they have always used. And here we are. There's an election tomorrow.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org, and they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m. join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. starting in September. We'll be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Heavenly Donuts.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474.
Required.
Now we opened with Democrat Party propaganda on late night television, network TV. The propaganda apparatus of the Democrat Party. Let me just say, Joseph Goebbels is green with envy on a spit in hell over a fire. He's like, boy, if I had only had the propaganda apparatus of the Democrat Party, we'd all be talking German today. Now, listen to this one. Here's the Fox News Channel has the story. Twitter, perhaps you've heard of it, erupts over CBS's The Good Fight. They have a TV show called The Good Fight. The Good Fight finale, which has a character that accuses Ron DeSantis of being a gay sex offender. All right? This is the what CBS is producing. They're spending millions of dollars. A radical leftist extremist anti-American woman named Christine Baranski, or is that a man? Because that's hard to say. Produced this offensive drivel. The character admitted to fabricating the allegations to give Trump a boost in the 2024 polls. This is what the networks do with their money. CBS should be bought by a billionaire and canceled, just flushed. The series finale of Paramount Plus's The Good Fight, that's a CBS network, left social media users stunned on Thursday for featuring a plotline in which a character claimed to be sexually assaulted by Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, only to confess later he was lying on the show. The finale of the courtroom drama's sixth and final season premiere, premiered on Thursday with the episode titled The End of Everything. In a quick clip widely shared online, the episode features the main character, Diane Lockhart, played by Christine Baranski, meeting with Felix Staples, a flamboyant gay provocateur who's made appearances in earlier seasons of the long-running show. In a conference room surrounded by lawyers, Staples claims that he was sexually assaulted by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who forced him to have oral sex following a CPAC conference while interning for his office. Now, who does this, how many Democrats does this actually, there are a number of Democrats that could apply to. Diane immediately dismisses the accusation as politically motivated. Beep. Despite Staples claiming to have DNA proof. See, he's got a, you remember the blue dress, right? The blue Gap dress and Monica Lewinsky. Well, this guy has a red, see, blue red T-shirt with a stain on it that he says is, you know, Ron DeSantis' DNA. This is what CBS is doing when they produce television shows. The Soviet Union was honest compared to these people. Honestly, this is pretty amazing stuff. Mm-mm-mm. The lawyers spend the episode gathering evidence to expose Staples for lying. He eventually confesses to fabricating the allegations, and he says that he did it to tarnish Ron DeSantis' reputation because it would put former President Donald Trump ahead in the polling in the 2024 presidential race. So this is kind of a, you know, a damp fantasy of the Democrat Party brought to life, animated by CBS and aired on their network, Paramount Plus. The episode ignited a firestorm on the Twitter, with users calling the show unhinged, questioning the legalities of casting the governor as a potential gay sex offender in the fictitious TV show. Other users called it the first of many smear campaigns by Hollywood to be brought against the Florida governor as he remains popular potential 2024 presidential contender. My friend Brent Baker at Newsbusters wrote, "Let the smears begin." All right. Final episode of The Good Fight, Paramount Plus. Just amazing. He invited me into his staff. Little did he know. Little did I know what he meant by that. See, this is the clever writing they have. He invited me onto his staff. Little did I know what he meant by that, and forced me into oral sex. See, the DeSantis, and then they have the stained red T-shirt instead of a blue dress. Man, oh man, just amazing. Now we have a couple of sound bites from this momentous. Honestly, the Democrat Party, there is no bottom, there is no depth to which they will not plumb, or which they will not plumb. They are the most appalling gang of miscreants. And again, whatever they're accusing you of is what they're doing themselves. So you got to keep that in mind at all times too. Boy, oh boy. Washington Examiner asks, is this kind of thing legal? I realize the whole free speech thing is pretty robust, but can you just insert a real public figure into your fictional movie and make him a sex offender? The Democrats, you know, they're the party of sex offenders. Jill, where is the story about Joe Biden digitally penetrating his staffer, Tara Reid, while pinning her against the wall? Whereas, you know, you could do a whole series about Bill Clinton as Anthony Weiner. The list is long. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That's pretty amazing. So here is what CBS News is doing. This is part of their vicious, demented, mentally ill, deranged propaganda campaign. They're going after Trump and DeSantis at the same time.
I offered my political services to Governor DeSantis. He saw me in my bicycle shorts, worn purely for medical reasons. And he invited me onto his staff. Little did I know what he meant by staff.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And he wears bicycle shorts purely for political reasons because he's got a bicycle in his rump or something. I'm not sure what's going on with that. It is this is what the Democrat Party does. This is what the TV networks do. How Republicans win anything is the true miracle of life in American politics.
And this is where it gets more, shall we say, ribald.
Ribald.
Ron invited me to CPAC so I could work on his speech, and then. And there, he drugged me and forced me into oral sex.
Do you have any witnesses?
No, I have better. I have a stain.
He holds up his red T-shirt, which is the equivalent of the Monica Lewinsky blue dress, right? And now they're defending this by saying, well, in the end, they proved that he was lying, so it's okay, right? This is, now, you guys are you all sexual deviants? Can I just ask, do you all have sexual, the entire Democrat Party, nobody cares if you're gay, nobody cares if you dress up like your mother and dance around, nobody really cares. You know, I saw the Silence of the Lambs. That's not a, you know, that's not really a thing. I don't care. But can you just leave the rest of us out of your mental illness episodes, please? This is your Democrat Party and this isn't the news media. This is the entertainment media, which also, of course, is part of the Democrat Party's propaganda apparatus because, you know, honestly, this is how they got Joe Biden elected. Information dominance. Right? Cultural dominance. And this is what they've done to our culture. This and, of course, you know, drag queen story hour for kindergarten, because they're not grooming. They're just, you know, changing your boy into a girl without letting the parents know at school, because that's your Democrat Party in 2022. All right. Well, that's pretty repulsive. And honestly, gosh, what do you even do about that? Let's go to the telephones. Let's go to Auntie Mike calling from Bowie, Maryland. Auntie Mike, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. Been a long time since I've called.
Welcome.
Yes, it's been too long. I want to say that I think Trump's record, I think the commanders would like it, like 170-something to 9 or 10. I think that'd be a good record for the Yankees. But saying that, I think the three biggest things they're picking on are Bullock and a couple other senators. But the thing is, if you look scratch through the surface, I think this is just another attack on Trump by the combined efforts of Republican establishment and the other guys, because McConnell pulled money from those people strictly so they wouldn't get in there and vote against him for leader. And I think that's really what's happening here. I think Trump is just the scapegoat.
I don't question any of that, I don't think. You know, McConnell pulling money from certain, like, General Bullock and other races because they weren't going to be his puppy dogs. I believe that I said the other day that we have to get rid of Mitch McConnell and we should be looking for leadership in the House other than Kevin McCarthy and have someone more aggressive and dare I say articulate than Kevin McCarthy. If you're looking to, you know, make a convincing case to the American people, it would be nice if the Speaker of the House were a silver-tongued devil and an extremely articulate spokesman for your cause, and I don't think that Kevin McCarthy is that person. I hear that he's a very nice man. People like him. He has lots of friends on Capitol Hill, but the job is bigger than having friends on Capitol Hill. He's not, you know, being asked to be prom queen. And Mitch McConnell, it's time that Mitch McConnell obviously were benched, let us get on with, the life of, the secret life of conservatives in the United States of America. Because, you know, these guys really aren't getting the job done. And honestly, I don't think that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the Senate Congressional Campaign Committee did a great job in Mitch McConnell getting in the way of candidates that could have won. Not helpful. Yes, the Republican establishment. But let me ask you a question, Auntie Mike, because this is something that has come up in some of my conversations, mostly in text messages with friends. And there was a conversation. It was on the Dan Bongino show yesterday with Leo Terrell. And they're saying, well, listen, you know that President Trump will get every Democrat. They'll have 122% turnout to vote against Trump. They would walk through the flames of hell to vote against President Trump. And then you say the Republican establishment is against Trump and he's going after DeSantis and Youngkin. I'm just looking at it as a math problem, Anti-Mike, and And if, you know, if the Democrats get 120% turnout and only half the Republicans show up, do you win the presidential election?
Well, that kind of cuts both ways. I mean, if you shove him out of the way and put DeSantis in the front, how many people is that going to turn off?
Yeah.
And so I think we're between a rock and a hard spot. And
yeah.
On that subject, I think President Trump, I think he made a big mistake. I think, you know, you don't kick somebody on your own team. I agree with that sentiment. I think these two guys ought to get together, somebody say they're sorry for whatever it is that started it, shake hands and get on TV and show everybody they're on the same team.
Yeah.
And one more thing I'd like to say is, now that this CBS thing came up, I know you're not a boycott kind of guy, but I think everybody should maybe let CBS know, and their advertisers, how much they didn't like that.
Well, I think you're right about that. Letting the honestly, I don't think there's a show on CBS that I watch, tell you the truth. I watch very little commercial TV. I have so many commercial-free channels and so many options that I couldn't even, you know, the CBS Evening News is on. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you a show that is on CBS, on the CBS network, to tell you the truth. But I
say my CBS is zero, except my wife loves Yellowstone, so that's...
That's on Paramount, right? That's yeah. Yes. So does my best girl, as a matter of fact. But you're right about letting the advertisers know that this kind of, you know, political, this radical, filthy propaganda and politics by other means, you know, this is social warfare against mainstream Americans, and CBS with their proxy Paramount Plus doing it is. But Auntie Mike, I think that, you know, your suggestion that you let the advertisers know is a very good one.
Yes, I think, you know, playing by, you know, the rules of being a gentleman in a street fight just gets you knocked to the ground.
That's a fact. And that's one of the many things that President Trump proved, is that if you stand up and you punch back and you fight back, and you see DeSantis doing that, you see Carrie Lake doing that, going after the press right to their faces and calling them on it. Vitally important. And Republicans have to do that. And this CBS show, this Paramount Plus show, is yet another example of the need for Republican elected Republican leaders to just kick them when they come after you with these insane, vile, vulgar, radical, extremist, propagandistic efforts. And honestly, you know, like on Capitol Hill, the Republican members of Congress should announce that they are not going to respond to any CBS questions. They're not going to appear on any CBS shows. Not that they care at CBS. But just say you're not going to cooperate with CBS. You're not doing any CBS. You know, no CBS Evening News. No 60 Minutes. No CBS Morning Show. And you're not going to answer questions from CBS reporters on Capitol Hill. They're banned. And in fact, when the Republicans take over, maybe they should pull their press credentials from Capitol Hill. Win the White House, pull their press credentials from the White House. You know, play hardball. And mean it. Do it for real. Because we won't see the Republicans do this, because we've got Turtle Boy and Kevin McCarthy.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, if you feel like you're stuck with a healthcare plan that isn't affordable, or you simply just don't like how it works, well, right now, during open enrollment, is a perfect time to switch to MediShare. The typical family saves $500 a month when they join MediShare, and what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to the industry. That's double. And MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. It's been around for 30 years. It's shared more than $4 billion in healthcare bills. And here's why now is the perfect time to make the switch. If you join MediShare Complete by January 1st, they will waive your new member fees, and you'll save an additional 10% off your first year. No fee to join, 10% off every month for all of next year. But again, it's a limited time offer. So yeah, you're not stuck. You've got a great option. Call now, 844-94-BIBLE. That's 844-94-BIBLE, 844-94-BIBLE.
Finding the right Medicare plan, oof, no easy feat. Kind of like those dances my granddaughter loves making me do. But then I found Walgreens FindRx coverage. Lets you compare plans online, over the phone, or in person. Made Medicare shopping so easy. Plus, I found plans with low-cost copays. I can get down with that. When you need to talk Medicare, Walgreens is here. Start shopping today at walgreens.com/Medicare.
For all your printing needs this holiday, Staples has you covered.
I need custom printed holiday cards for my one-of-a-kind business.
Staples has you covered.
It's beginning to look a lot like I need custom party invites. Fast.
I need cards for everyone who gave me a hand this year, without spending an arm and a leg.
Staples has you covered with personalized holiday cards and invites. And now save 40% on custom holiday cards and invitations. For everything you need printed, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online ends 12/17. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Fall is in the air, and that means fall grilling, tailgate parties, and so much more. Now is the perfect time to stock up on all this incredible flavor and take advantage of 50% off site-wide by shopping Omaha Steaks Friends and Family Sale. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code SIZZLE at checkout to get $30 off your order. Visit omahasteaks.com, promo code SIZZLE at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Brownie the Elf. It's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura.
I just want you to know, yes. J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a brownie hoodie.
I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase? I wouldn't be caught dead in it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Well, our man Kevin Tober asked a question on Twitter a short time ago. The question is, are you done with Trump? That was the question from Kevin. Who's on our team, on our side? Trump voter, Media Research Center, and Chris Plant Show. And the responses include nope, and never, and nope, and voted for him twice, but yes, done. His petty attacks on DeSantis and Youngkin is a bridge too far for me. Also, no way. We need his policies now more than ever. And mega, threat to democracy. He's going to alienate most of his base slash support if he continues the unfounded attacks against very popular, successful Republicans. Now, I mean, you know, the thing is, if you unify the Democrat Party and divide the Republican Party, you lose the presidential election. That's a gimme. It's close enough already. But, you know, you need more, not fewer. And MAGA Trump KX Stitch. You mean like governors who have their lieutenant governors speak out against him? I believe that he is referring to Winsome Sears, the lieutenant governor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin's lieutenant governor, who came out, and I have that audio for you. I'm going to share it with you today. Winsome Sears, who has been a Trump supporter all along, came out yesterday and said bad things, that she's no longer with President Trump. The New York Post turning on President Trump. Yesterday they had him Trumpty Dumpty, sat on a wall. Today's headline, he needs to disappear, and Trump voters are, quote, done, end quote, with ex-president after red ripple. And our listeners continuing, no, not done with him. He just needs to stop verbally attacking other Republicans. He's not the godfather. And Michael Selcher, I wasn't, but I'm prepared to move on now. We need unity, not knives. And the goal is to win the presidential election in 2024 to secure the White House. You do that by winning the election. How do you win the election?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.